Audible Studios presents Entangled. Written by S.E. Hall. Performed by Marais Almeida and Douglas Berger.
Prologue. People probably think streets like this don't exist anymore. I know I did. But as Dane and I drive down Elmhurst Drive in his shiny silver roadster, top down and an unusual Georgia breeze in my hair, the neighborhood looks downright picturesque. All the lawns are perfectly manicured with huge maple trees dotting the area, and 1428 loves pink, evidenced by the rows of flowers lining the walkway. I glance sideways when I hear his chuckle. His tan, smiling face looks back at me, a flirty glint in his dark eyes. "You trying to break my fingers, baby?" he asks, lifting our joined hands between us. "Oh, sorry." I blush, relaxing my grip, seeing that the ends of his fingers are now crimson. "It's okay." He kisses the back of my hand. "I know you're excited. I'm glad." The street is a dead-end cul-de-sac, a community basketball hoop in the circle. Several young boys playing a game there now. Two older men watch the game from their lawn chairs parked nearby and wave to us as we climb out of the car. I giddily wave back, once again earning Dane's lighthearted laugh. The whole scene is worthy of a Welcome to the Neighborhood brochure and makes me smile, already feeling homey. My duplex is precious. Red brick with white shutters and a large bay window right in the front. I literally bounce my way up to the front porch. The landscaping needs to be touched up. The hedges are way overgrown and all the plants looking half dead since no one's lived here to keep it up. And I can't wait to do just that. I look over and notice Bennett's already got a sunflower flag flying proudly over her porch next door. And it just makes my fire to get started burn brighter. I have my own house to fix up. I've never been so pumped about a project in my life. "You ready to go in, Miss Walker?" he teases in my ear, swatting me playfully on the butt. My yes turns into a squeal as I'm swept up, bride-style, in his arms. "Then go in you shall," he responds, before leaning down to kiss my lips and carrying me over the threshold. Chapter 1. Lainey. I love everything about the place, from the long list of things that need to be done to those which are only necessary to make it mine. As we wander from room to room, my excitement spills over, and I start to tell Dane my ideas. "I think in here I'll paint it softball yellow and then draw red stitches all along the top like a border."
"I think that's the worst idea I've ever heard," he groans, backing away from me as he says it.
"Good idea."
"Don't hold back, Dane. Tell me what you really think." I cross my arms over my chest, because he just lost his boob-ogling privileges with that comment. He'd bought this duplex for me, sick of the 11 p.m. curfew that often can't be worked around in the dorm. Not to mention it's a closer drive to his house, strategically located at almost the dead middle between Chateau Kendrick and GSU. But he's being a bossy boots caveman, a trait he'd kept somewhat hidden until he felt absolutely comfortable with me and shooting down all my top-notch decorating ideas.
"Baby, if that's what you really want, go ahead. But it sounds gaudy and juvenile.
And you have to think of resale. When it comes time for you to marry me and move into the big house, we'll have to make the room look normal for potential buyers." Some girls probably would have heard, "marry me," and melted right where they stood, fanning themselves and batting their eyelashes. Not this girl. "What do you mean gaudy? Juvenile?" I mock and shrink him on the spot with my glare. "Just because it's not black, white, or gray?" Yes, I'm referring to the sterility of his house right now. "Doesn't mean it's ugly. I think it'd look cool. And you said this was my place. I should be able to decorate it how I want." I'm not pouting, really. I'm standing with my legs braced apart, with my hands on my hips, and a scathing frown on my face, ready to spar.
And the other bedroom?
He asks, patronizingly calm. I wave a hand and scoff. Do whatever you want with it. Go absolutely crazy with your three-color palette. And now for the zinger that's really gonna get him. Men shouldn't know how to decorate anyway. Using words like gaudy. I let one brow raise and give him a suspicious smirk. Do I need to learn how to fix the cars, then? What if I get a flat?
Oh, baby, he growls,
his feet pounding the floor as he stalks toward me.
Are you questioning my manliness?
Maybe, I tease, slowly backing up. Nancy. My eyes dart anxiously around the room, mentally planning my escape route in this new territory. He laughs deeply. Not a ha-ha, that's funny laugh, but more an, I'm coming to get ya, sexy laugh.
Got it planned yet?
He grins knowingly, one eyebrow cocked.
Better run to wherever looks the most comfortable.
There's no furniture yet.
What is he talking about, comfortable?
Seeing the confusion on my face, he answers, unasked.
I'll be showing you how much of a man I am when I catch ya.
He creeps closer.
So I'd stay away from the tile, it might hurt your back.
The mischief in his eyes ignites as he continues moving slowly closer.
Or your knees.
Do I still have to pretend I don't want to be caught? I love this side of Dane, and I love that the dominant, controlling hunter comes out more and more every day. The game's precept itself is laughable. No one could question Dane's virility. It seeps from his pores. An aura around him that takes up all the air in the room. And he's all mine. From his forever jostled brown locks and matching warm eyes to his cocky, lopsided grin, to his sculpted chest, all the way to his tight back, that irresistible V and toned tight ass, he is mine. You wouldn't, I challenge, knowing delightfully well that he would.
Oh, baby, you know I can and I will.
He flips open the button on his pants, that cocky grin suffocating me from where he stands.
And I think you want me to.
The man is a degree of hot and sexy that cannot be measured, and I'm instantly aflame, tingly and wanting, every single time I look at him. And when his dominating stare is fixed on me, telling me I'm helpless to stop him when he wants me this badly, my ability to move, think, or possibly resist, leaves me. I am but his for the taking, whenever and however he wants. I shake my head back and forth, biting my bottom lip in the way that I know drives him crazy. Do not, I say throatily, barely above a whisper. Only Dane makes me forget that not too long ago, I was simply a girl. A scared, unsure, shy girl a long way from home. With him, as his, I am anything but. He revealed the true me, a confident, sensual woman, ready to embrace all that makes me feel alive. I cut my eyes right, staring at a deceptive destination, waiting for him to take the bait. Then juke left, squealing like a schoolgirl in a slasher film as he grabs me. He never even flinched right, stepping in front of me effortlessly, growling into my neck as he swings me in his arms.
You're mine now,
he warns in a deep, sultry timbre. Wasn't I already? I breathe out, pulsing from head to toe just from his touch, his tone, his command.
Mm-hmm. But the chase makes it so much sweeter. And now, baby?
He hoists me up by his strong hands spanned across my ass, and my legs wrap around him of their own volition.
We're gonna christen your carpet.
He goes down to his knees, still holding me tightly against him as he slowly lowers me to my back, laying his body across mine. You can't be serious. My moan betrays my protest as he suckles my neck. Hands still kneading my backside. There aren't any curtains. Someone can see us. Another interesting fact I learned about Dane after the first time. He wants it all the time. Anytime, anywhere, any way. Now that the seal is broken, my man can't be stopped. Can I get an amen? His warm breath fans across my already sensitized flesh, raising goosebumps and triggering a pull in my core. If anyone peeps in your windows, I'll take care of them later. And one hand slides to the front, snapping open my jeans. We can keep it as discreet as possible. You're insane. Oh, Dane. My breathing is labored and stuttered. His fingers deliciously teasing me. Discreet could work. I love it when you see things my way. He lifts his body off me slightly. The loss of his heat like an Arctic blast. Pull him down, baby. Just enough. I comply with his demand wantonly. No longer caring where we are. Raising my hips off the floor. And pushing only my jeans down to the middle of my thighs. Good girl. So discreet. He teases as he looks down at me with a mischievous curl to his mouth and a growing flame in his gaze. Now let's see if I can do the same. Watching through my lust-filled haze, he reaches in his back pocket, tossing a condom packet by my head. Seems he had this christening planned all along. Still balancing himself on one forearm above me, a hand slides in between us, easing down his zipper, pushing his pants and briefs down in the front. If a peeping Tom did happen upon us now, we might get away with the infamous, "We were just making out and his jeans are baggy." Defense. He pulls the neckline of my shirt down with his fingers and the cup of my bra with his teeth. His mouth finding the center of my bare chest quickly. "See?" he points out huskily, as his tongue circles my hardened point. "Shirt still on. I'd never let anyone see you but me, Lainey. Ever. But this is happening, right here. Right now. I want you." "How are we?" "Shh." He silences me by covering my mouth with his. Greedily seducing my senses, grinding against me and kissing me as though he may never get to again. Everything with Dane is intense, always. Even an afternoon quickie on the carpet, he finds new heights to take me to. "Want it, baby?" he asks, rubbing his rock-hard length along my saturated panties, one hand tight again on my ass, pushing me into him. "Say you want it, Lainey. Tell me." His voice is edgy. He's losing his control. "Yes." I reach down, slipping my hands into the back of his loose jeans and grabbing his firm ass, digging my fingers into the hard flesh. "I want my Dane. So bad." He rolls the condom down himself in milliseconds, the most dexterous man ever. It's quite impressive, actually. "Move your panties to the side," he growls. Voice and eyes hazed with lust and hunger, both imploring me before he leans down to suck along my chest, my throat, frenzied and impatient.
"Do it, baby. Just pull him to the side. I need you."
So, unlike anything I'd ever dreamed myself capable of, I do it. I snake a hand down between our seeking, wanting bodies, and yank my panties over, giving him the opening he so desperately wants, that I just as desperately need. And the second I do, he connects himself to me in one hard thrust. "Ugh!" I cry out, my back arching off the floor in the most exquisite mix of pleasure and pain, legs clenching tighter around him and toes curling.
"My baby," he croons,
his open mouth inching up the column of my neck, tasting and nipping along the way, finding my ear where he likes to whisper all his dirty thoughts.
"So fucking good. Every single time."
I lose the self where I am only Lainey, Now the perfect version, where Dane and I are the same entity. The physical sensation is amazing. Like my body and his are one in the same. My insides ripple in time with his feral heartbeat. His hums of satisfaction timed to my shallow pants. He always knows just what I need. How hard, how fast. Where to touch me, when to touch me there. He's an attentive, unselfish, anticipatory lover. The emotional connection that I crave, just as much as the physicality, is as strong as ever. I've never felt, could never feel, closer to another soul. My partner, the person to walk this life with me, than when Dane and I make love. He moves over me, in me, stroking the spot inside me that makes my breath catch, and my mouth open in a silent scream. His head falls back, eyes closed, and a trickle of sweat gracefully make its descent down his slickened skin, to get lost in the light thatch of hair on his chest.
You feel so perfect, he grunts out.
His ass clenches under my hands with each plunge into the deepest part of me, and I can do nothing but stare up at him, strikingly beautiful in all his animalistic nature.
You close, baby? Need to come. Want you with me, he moans, his low grumble a plea. Too good. Need to.
He pants again, opening his eyes now to gauge my reaction. His hands move under me again, gripping my ass like a vice and tilting my pelvis up, where he knows he'll hit right where I need him to, then begins to circle his thumb on my clit, the combination exactly what it takes to set me off like a Roman candle. The howl that leaves me bounces off the walls of the empty room. No objects to absorb the sound, increasing the volume to embarrassing, as if I cared.
Uh-huh,
he goads me, rubbing harder, twisting his hips at the end of each slide-in.
That's it. Fuck yes, baby. Squeeze me. Who makes you come?
I can't answer, delirious as my body bounces in time to his maddening thrusts.
Baby,
his strained yell breaking through my trance.
Who makes you come?
He asks again and again, each word coordinating with the pound that grazes my cervix, or maybe my throat, his lips curled and teeth bared. The muscles in his arms flex with each move, the pulse in his throat begging me to raise up and lick it. But I'm pinned here at his mercy.
You,
I somehow answer, intoxicated with the feel of him, the scent of our mingled sweat and passion.
Only you, babe.
Damn right, he moans, satisfied with my reply. He lays flush against me now, giving me all his weight, which I welcome. There's something about the heaviness of the man you love on top of you.
Need you there, baby,
he says again, his thumb mercilessly swirling on my clit, begging me to catch him and release.
Now, Lainey, again, for me.
It takes but a minute. He knows to keep his thumb fast and right there if he wants me to join him. This time, as I explode around him, shamelessly screaming his name as he too lets go, twitching inside me. I do this to him. Me. My love. My body. Undoes this god. This territorial, bossy, controlling, and phenomenal man that is all mine.
Love you,
he says in between slowing pants, trying to catch his breath.
Love you,
I hum, caught up in bliss, rubbing up and down his now damp back. I love this part.
Chapter 2. Dane. Obstinate, stubborn woman. Good thing I figured out the one language she'll always listen to.
Dane Dick. She speaks it fluently, actually, and I have great success with what I call Triple D, a.k.a. Dane Dick Diversion. I only call it that in my own head, of course. If she heard the title, she'd rip off the weapon of coercion and choke me with it. Who would have thought she had a side to her that could only be drawn out by me? She's a little freak when she wants to be. And the first time I let go, showing her the innermost Dane, the one that likes to control, the lustful sparkle in her eye and coy twitch to her lip told me it was okay to be me, that she liked it. Score one for Dane. So occasionally, I use Triple D for my own purposes. Sue me. I don't think Lainey really minds anyway. And now, with her sated and purring beside me, we can discuss her awful decorating ideas. And if she continues to argue, well, I'm more than happy to distract her again. Inside Lainey is the tight, warm haven where I'd spend every waking minute if I could. It's only then that she completely lets go, trusting me to take her away from everything else. The place she goes when I'm buried in her is made of total contentment. Somewhere she's safe, cared for, loved, and she has no other worries in the world. The minute I slip from her, though, my challenging little hellcat is back with a vengeance, testing me. Her mind, mouth, and spirit reminding me why I'm so in love with her. But softball yellow walls? Not happening. She's still lying on her back, eyes closed and small smile on her lips when I stroll back in from cleaning up. Why are you smiling, gorgeous? I'm happy, she answers, not opening her eyes or making any attempt to move. Then I did my job. I lower myself and crawl over her, burying my face in the sweetness of her neck. She smells of me, of us, the best scent in the world. Dane on Lainey. I love you, Disney, I whisper in her ear. I tell her as often as I can without feeling like a sap. Hell, I'd tattoo it across my forehead if she asked me to. She needs to know that even though one look at her turns me into an animal, and I'd like to fuck her paralyzed, she means everything to me on every other level as well. If I could never make love to her again, I'd still want all that makes Lainey Lainey to fill my days. I love you too. Her brown eyes now open and look adoringly into mine, her mouth turning up in a smirk. And I'm still painting the room like I want. Infuriating woman. I wasn't kidding before. Sometimes I really think she tries my patience on purpose because she's actually as insatiable as I am. If you want more of this, I bite her chin and roll my hardening dick against her. All you have to do is ask. You don't have to ugly up the place. Get off of me, you. She slaps my chest and bucks her hips wildly, trying to toss me off her. All it does is excite me more. I'll paint this whole damn place chartreuse if I want. Oh, she's getting mad now. Cheeks bright pink and fire in her eyes, which are narrowed to slits and zoned in on me. Fucking adorable. You think so, huh? Care to make a friendly little wager? I'm not sure why I even ask. Lainey couldn't turn down a bet if her life depended on it. I can't wait until her 21st birthday. We are most definitely spending it in Vegas. Absolutely. She purses her lip and waits in challenge. Name it. Honestly, I've been waiting for the ideal time for the chance to give her something I'd gotten for her weeks ago. Her betting addiction is playing right into my hands. How about we both design one bedroom and let the crew judge? Winner takes all? I refuse to negotiate with you sitting on me. She squirms underneath me, trying to escape. Dismount, you beast! I throw my head back in hearty laughter. She cracks me up. But I do move off her as soon as I'm gathered. Sheesh. She sits up, frazzled, straightening her hair and clothes. You're such a brute. She shoots me a playful glare. Now that you're off me, I tease with a straight face. Let's talk terms. We'll each take a room. Same budget, same amount of time. The crew votes when we're finished. Sound good? No help, though. She points at me and wags her finger. You can't hire people to come in and do it for you. We have to do all the work ourselves. Deal. I offer her my hand to shake on it. Not so fast. What do we win? What do you want? I counter, waggling my eyebrows at her. She rolls her eyes at my suggestiveness and twiddles her fingers in contemplation. She's really straining, trying to come up with a doozy. You have to take me on a date that costs $50 or less. She grins. Something sincere that comes from your heart, not your money. I can do that. I close in on her now, wrapping my arms around her waist. And if I win, you have to accept what's in the envelope I give you. Huh? She peers up at me sweetly. If I win, I'm going to hand you an envelope. You have to promise to accept whatever's in it. It can't be money. She pokes my chest with each word. Okay. I kiss her nose. Or the deed to anything. Okay. I chuckle and kiss her chin. Or the key to a car. Would you stop? I squeeze her tighter, smothering her whole face in kisses now. It's nothing like that. I get it. No money. Just me. Okay, then. She burrows deeper against me, pacified and snuggly. It's on.
Chapter 3. Lainey. Excuse me, can I help you? I ask the very sweaty, very in need of a belt man currently behind my duplex, flashing his ass crack like a pole dancer. Hi there, you must be Lainey. He sticks his cigar butt in his mouth and offers out his hand. I'm Hank Proctor from Hank's Handyman. I hesitantly shake his hand and smile slowly. How do you know my name and what are you doing here? Dane hired me. I'm here to build your deck. Of course he did. A deck? Do you have some plans for me to look at? Maybe a business card? I have no idea if you draw up plans for a deck, but it felt right asking. If someone's building anything on my precious little bungalow, I want to know ahead of time, approve it, and give my thoughts. I'm not trying to be a brat or ungrateful, but this is my first place, and I'm super excited. I want to help make the big decisions, like I'm really a part of it, and it's really mine. Is that so much to ask? Of course. He smiles warily, perhaps reading the aggravation on my face. Let me just run to the van and get the drawing and a card for you. Be right back, he says as he hurries around the corner. Great. I scared Hank. I whip out my cell phone, pushing the buttons with much more force than necessary. My foot taps as it rings, my annoyance growing with each second I'm not afforded the opportunity to unload. Baby, he answers, voice warm. Don't you baby me, Michael Dane Kendrick. If he could see me, he'd know my foot is still tapping incessantly, and the hand not holding the phone is propped angrily on my hip. Would you like to tell me about your friend Hank and why he's in my backyard? Is that laughter I hear on the other end of this phone? It has to be a bad connection. He wouldn't dare. What am I thinking? Of course he'd dare. Well, enough is enough. I want some say. Are you laughing at me? I growl. Why, yes, yes, I am. Ugh! I yell, not moving the phone away from my mouth, sort of hoping I pierce his eardrum. Dane, why didn't you tell me? We could have designed the deck together. Lainey, there's no height to work with and limited yard space, so it's not a real intricate deck to design. It's not a big deal, babe. Just somewhere to sit. I'm sure he has a point. And I should be grateful. And I can still plan stuff like the plants, the chairs, candles, maybe string some lights. But while it's just a deck this time, what will it be next? Too bad he's not here right now. I have a secret tactic that, according to my stats, has a 99.4% success rate. I call it pussy persuasion, but never out loud. Plans this surefire and brilliant must be kept on the DL. And while it sounds funny in my head, it's kind of crass out loud. Anyway, seeing as how he's not here, I should probably just give in and quit fighting him in the interest of saving my energy for battles I might actually win. I sigh into the phone, exasperated. Fine. Thank you for the deck. For you, his gritty voice replies. Just like that. In those two words he uses to tell me what takes others' sonnets to convey, I'm reminded that he does do it for me. From a good place. The place within him that loves me, wants me to be happy, yearns to take care of me and make my life easier, happier, and completely tangled up in him. See? It takes me all that to analyze what he eloquently summarizes with, for you. Anger dissipated. I try a different approach. One that can be accomplished over the phone. The sweet and vulnerable girl voice. Can you just try to understand that I'm really excited to have my own place for the first time? And I want to be involved in things? I love the idea of a deck, but I kind of feel left out. Okay, babe? I hear you, baby. I didn't even think of it like that. We'll discuss things from now on, promise. He says sincerely. Not at all trying to simply pacify me. Thank you. Now, I bought some paint for the room I'm doing. Do I have time to get started on that, or do we have plans? I ask. My tone warmer. Are you sure you don't want me to hire? We have to do it ourselves, remember? That was part of the bet. I interrupt him. I mean, if you want to send someone in to paint your room, be my guest. Just let me know when our date is. I tease him. No, I remember now. I'll paint mine, you go ahead and start painting yours. Go wild, baby. I have several conference calls and a late meeting. I'll call or text you an ETA when I have an idea when I'll be done. Okay. I'll talk to you then. Love you. I love you too, Lainey Joe. He answers. Somewhat solemnly. But I'm still winning the bet. Please. I giggle before hanging up. Despite jamming to Stereo Hearts by GCH while I paint like the natural Picasso that I am, I hear my phone ding and jump off my step stool, wiping my sweaty brow to check it. Bennett. Where are you? Lainey. At the duplex painting. You? Bennett. LOL, next door. That must be your music. Thought it was the guy out back. Almost done? Lainey. I could be. Why are we still texting? Walk over here. I chuckle to myself, setting down my phone and walking over to turn off the music. Yoo-hoo! She calls out. Hey, girl, back here. Hey! She lets out a long whistle. Looking good in here. I love the purple. She claps her hands and bounces in place. Isn't it fun, fixing up your own personal dollhouse? Yeah, I laugh, pulling her in for a quick hug. She's like walking sunshine. You just can't help but want to hug her. But it's not purple. I waggle my finger at her, wanting to clear up this terrible misconception. It's called Champagne Elegance, and it's a silkier version of lilac. I perfectly mimic the way too excited to sell paint for a living saleswoman who basically chastised me where I stood for using ugly, mundane words like purple, yellow, and gasp, red. Don't tell Dane you got a sneak peek. You're one of the judges and shouldn't know which room I did, okay? You were never here. I use my best mobster voice, brushing my knuckles under my chin like a boss. And not to sway your vote, but the fridge came today, and there's a bottle of wine in it that I'd love to share with you, Votie Voterson. Yay! Tate's working, and our furniture, she looks pointedly around at my barren space, is already in. Let's do girls' night at my place, can we? Her face is hopeful. I miss my Lainey time. She pooches out her bottom lip and gives me irresistible puppy dog eyes. I can hang till Dane's done at work. Can I shower there? Of course you can. She wrinkles her nose and lets her eyes drift in the area of my pits. Please do. She giggles. I'll grab the wine, just head over when you've wrapped up here. I nod, heading to the sink to rinse my paintbrushes. As I watch the swirls of muted purple spin around and disappear down the drain, I lift my chin and smile. This bet with Dane is going to be like taking candy from a baby. He's been too busy to even start on his room. And I've been working like a dog, almost done with the second coat of paint in mine. The curtains are on the rod, and new switch plates and outlet covers have been purchased, both ready to go as soon as the paint's dry. I decided against the softball theme and am going with a tranquil space. Different hues of light purples, sage greens, and lots of candles. It's going to be great. Finished up with the rinsing, I do a quick walkthrough, flipping off the lights and locking the door behind me. I turn to walk the whole 10 steps to Bennett's, letting out a screamed, "Oh!" as I catch myself with one hand on the bricks, looking down to see what I've tripped over. Looking right back up at me is one very miserable, very pregnant dog. Basset Hound? Beagle? I don't know. But she's definitely in no mood to move, belly dragging the ground. Are you lost, sweetie? I bend down, gently petting her head. Huh? You have a collar. Somebody must be missing you.
Charlie! The yell is followed by a sharp whistle. Charlie, come here, girl!
Rings through the evening air. Charlie? This dog is most definitely female.
Over here!
I yell. Oh, hi, says a man, whose good looks even the enclosing darkness can't hide. Charlie. He too squats down closer to the hound. Girl, how'd you get out? You can't have those puppies on a stranger's porch. He chuckles lightly, giving Charlie a scratch behind the ears, her tail wagging slightly. I giggle at the poor dog's obvious discomfort at something as simple as a flick of the tail. And the man looks up at me. I'm sorry. He shakes his head, embarrassed. I'm Tucker Lucas. I live next door there. He points to the right with a shift of his head and offers me his hand. Did you just move in?
Yeah, well, almost.
I babble. I mean, yes, I'm moving in, getting things ready. I'm Lainey Walker. I extend my hand to his. Nice to meet you.
You too.
He smiles, his white teeth glowing in the dusk. Sorry about Charlie here. She's getting stir-crazy waiting for the puppies.
What kind of dog is she?
She's a beagle. Although she's not too miniature right now. He laughs. She's precious, but miserable, I'm sure. I stand, glancing around awkwardly and running my hands down my pant legs. Out of things to say.
So very nice to meet you, Lainey.
And welcome to the neighborhood.
You'll love it here. Everyone's real friendly.
Come on, Charlie. He hoists the grunting dog into his arms. Say goodbye to Lainey.
Bye, Charlie.
I grin at the sweet animal and rub her head. Night, Tucker.
Night, neighbor.
I watch him walk away, smirking as he lugs the mama across the lawn, then turn and head to Bennett's door.
Knock, knock,
I call out as I open the door.
Hey!
Bennett pops in front of me, her face concerned.
What took you so long?
I met our neighbor. His pregnant dog wandered up on my porch.
His?
She wiggles her eyebrows and grins.
Yeah?
I give her a questioning look, not quite catching what she's throwing.
Describe.
She rolls her fingertips together. A curious smile twisting her mouth.
I don't know, short, bald, probably 70, 75, why?
Oh. Her shoulders slump and she frowns. Seriously? Has she seen her boyfriend lately? He's almost as hot as his little brother, thus the reason I could care less that our neighbor is, in fact, very easy on the eyes. And when I say easy on the eyes, I mean God was good to him. but he's got nothing on the youngest Kendrick man. I'm kidding you, Ben. He's cute, probably 30, blonde hair, seemed very nice. I shrug, heading to the kitchen in search of the wine I had planned. Why do you care anyway? You and Tate okay? Of course we are, perfect. I was just curious. I'd simply rather have some eye candy in the hood than... She contemplates. Well, then not. Slut, I cough into my hand, trying not to laugh. Only a look, slut, I never touch. I love my tater bear. Tater bear? I snort, slamming the fridge door shut and bugging my eyes out at her. I think I just threw up in my mouth a little. How am I supposed to look at him now? Oh, hush. She pushes on my shoulder, her cheeks now the color of her hair. Don't you and Dane have bedroom names? Oh my God, Bennett, you call him that in the bedroom? I'm nearly shouting now, bent over with my hands on my knees, bracing my body's full gut laughter. Please stop talking, my ears are bleeding. You're so mean, Lainey, she whines. I'm never telling you anything ever again. Thank God, I wheeze out, still hee-hawing at her. Come on, bitch, grab your glass and I'll give you the grand tour, if you can compose yourself long enough, she says haughtily. And I think I hear a muttered skank as she leads us down the hall. So you just saw the kitchen, and this is the hall, she gestures with her hand, and the spare bedroom. She opens the door to a fully furnished, painted room. How the hell did you get everything painted so fast? I ask, it only now registering that her kitchen and hall have a fresh shine as well. Tate hired painters. She shrugs a shoulder, looking at me like I'm crazy. Maybe I am. Her side is organized and beautiful, while mine looks like the do-it-yourself project that it is. And this? Her smile grows wide and her eyes twinkle. Is the master. She opens the door with grandeur, stepping aside to give me room to see. Oh, it's something all right. The walls are a deep red, the bed a dark brown and prominent, but not as much as the pictures on the walls. Wow, Ben. I look at the ground, my cheeks heating. I didn't know you had it in you.
What, the pictures? Do you like them?
They were Tate's Valentine's Day present. He had them blown up when we got this place. They're very, I stammer, searching for the right word. But all that's coming to mind is revealing. I mean, I literally see nipple from here. What if her parents want a tour one day?
They're,
they're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Thanks,
she chirps happily. Paul down at MK did them. Halo by Beyonce sounds from my pocket and interrupts us, which tells me it's my love calling. And thank God for his timing. Hello? I quickly answer, stepping back into the hallway. Where are you? He cuts right to the chase, as always. At Bennett's, where are you? At the door. I hear the knock and go answer it. Only just realizing I can hang up the phone now. Hey, you. I smile when I open it and see him on the porch in a white dress shirt with the sleeves rolled up to the elbows, dark slacks, and a shiny silver belt buckle. Yummy. The pink tie around his neck is very nicely loosened. And just like that, he takes my breath every single time. Baby. He sighs heavily, wrapping me tightly in his arms, his face finding the crook of my neck. I'm sorry it took me so long.
It's okay.
I needed to catch up with my girl anyway. Do you want to come in for a minute, say hi to Bennett?
Just for a sec, he whispers in my ear. I want to shower, change, eat, and make love to you in that order, and sooner rather than later.
I pull back and place a soft kiss to his lips, more than game with his plan.
Then what are you waiting for? Go give her a hug and get me home.
But make sure she meets you in the hall.
I smirk, half thinking I shouldn't have warned him.
Chapter 4. Dane. Lainey?
Back here,
she shouts from the bedroom, then appears, hurrying out to meet me in the hallway, pulling the door closed behind her. Hey. I greet her with a deep, slow kiss. What you hiding? I glance to the closed door behind us when we break apart. Much too soon for my liking. My room makeover. You think I'm gonna let you steal all my great ideas? I bet I can guess what color you're painting it, I grin, picking up a strand of her paint-splattered hair and rubbing it between my fingers. I'm glad you changed your mind on the softball yellow. It wouldn't go with your eyes.
Humph.
She pushes playfully on my chest.
Are you just here to spy? I thought you had a meeting.
I did, but I'd had enough today. I thought I'd come take you furniture shopping. We can start filling the living room, the kitchen. I shrug. Whatever. She slides her arms around my waist and tucks her hands into my back pockets, squeezing my ass.
I was thinking about hitting some garage sales this weekend first. You can get some great deals at them. That's how I filled the house for Daddy and me, living on a fixed income. He never knew, really. He'd come home to a nice new shirt or pair of shoes or boots or work gloves and go on and on like I'd spent way too much on such a fine presents, and I'd spent a dollar. The story is sweet, and so is Lainey, taking care of others any way she can. But I can give her better. I can take care of her in the finest ways possible.
And what good is money, if not to spend it on the woman you love?
We are not getting your furniture at a garage sale. I sputter like there's a bad taste in my mouth.
Don't be such a snob, Richie Rich.
She rolls her eyes. Lots of stuff you find is very nice. And it'll save money. You've already spent so much. You bought me a house for crying out loud. I just want to cut costs when possible.
I take my time, running both my hands through my hair, then down my face, planning my next sentence. Baby, I begin, deceptively calm as I let out a deep breath. Who better to spend money on than my favorite person in the world? It makes me happy to do things for you. Please don't fight me. Just let me.
Relationships are about compromise. I know this. Love is patient, love is kind, blah, blah, blah. But this woman is literally gonna turn me into a saint. Or kill me. I'm not sure which will come first.
Dane, she purrs, closing the practically non-existent gap between our bodies and running her hands up my chest. How about we see what we can find at sales first? And then we can buy the rest.
Ah. She, too, was calculating a compromise.
I'll think about it, I grumble. I'm starving anyway. Go get cleaned up and we'll go eat instead. I pause to slap her butt. We can sleep at my house tonight since you have no bed.
Let's just go to your house now. I'll clean up there and cook for you, she offers.
I swear. You'd argue with the fence post.
Fine, let's go.
My voice chastises, but I wink, letting her know that I really can't wait to have her in my space. All to myself.
Baby, leave the dishes and come to me.
I push back the chair and pat my lap. Helen can get those tomorrow. I want to hold you.
It's no trouble. It won't take me 10 minutes.
She glances back over her shoulder and smiles.
Lainey, come here.
I growl at her, so very tempted to get up and go swat her constantly argumentative ass.
Well,
she drawls saucily, slowly moving to me, swaying her hips temptingly.
Since you asked so nicely.
When she's near enough, I reach out and tug on her hand, pulling her to me.
Why must you always torture me? I groan against her neck, nipping lightly. so sassy. I turn her face away from me and lift her onto my lap. Feel what it does to me? I think that's exactly why you do it. I move her silky hair to the side and off her neck, nuzzling my face there, placing intermittent kisses along her shoulder. Talk to me. Tell me everything I missed today. I mumble as I now pull her shirt down those smooth tan shoulders, giving myself more bare skin to taste. Nothing really. She turns her head back to look at me. Why? What's going on with you? How do I tell her, without sounding like a psycho, that I want to know every facet of her every day? If she laughed, I want to know what was funny. I want to know what she ate, what she wore, who she saw. I want to connect with her on a youthful, carefree level. She needs to know I can relate, that I like to have fun, too. I miss her when we're apart, and want to recreate every moment when we're together. I'm busy all day, but that's all it is. Busy. Not engaged, not interested, and far from impassioned. I go through the motions to keep my father's passion afloat, to secure a future for my brother and his children, perhaps my own children, but only if it's what they want to do. More often than not, I feel like the stuffy businessman who shows up late to catch a few half-hearted laughs with the crew, a complete outsider, way too old for his age. Hey, you, she cups my cheek, her thumb skimming my jaw whisper soft. Tell me what's going on in that head of yours. Be here with me. Let me help you solve your problems. I don't answer with words, unable to find the right ones just yet, but rather run my fingers from her shoulders down her arms, eyes solely focused on their trail. Several times I do this, still in silence, taking every nuance of her skin. I take my time, memorizing every small freckle placed here and there, before finally taking her hands and lifting them, pulling her arms straight up in the air. Keep them there. My voice rumbles. My first words in several minutes, and then pull her shirt up and off in one swift move. Wrap them around my neck. I direct in a heated breath on her neck. She curls her arms back and finds my neck, twirling her fingers in the longer hairs at the nape, lying her head back against my chest. Love you so much, Lainey. I nip along her shoulder, pressing myself into her from behind. I'll always love you, my beautiful angel. You save me every day. You're scaring me, she whispers, and I feel her trembling under my ministrations. What's wrong, babe? Again, I have no verbal answer to give her. Not one that would make sense to her anyway. I don't know what triggers it, or obviously I'd work on stopping it. But sometimes I get lost in my own headspace, feeling like I live in one world and her in another, and I don't like it. I need to reaffirm my connection to her, and I need it now. I turn us, draped around each other, and walk us to the large window that offers a view of the backyard and the lurking storm I can hear rumbling closer and closer. A flash of lightning streaks across the dark sky, making my hair stand on end. The storm outside should know it's met its match, because the force here on the inside is unbeatable. The current between Lainey and I, one to be reckoned with. I knew it the moment I first saw her. Something instinctual told me that together we'd be magnificent. Until you felt it. It sounds cliche. All you can do is pity the skeptics who haven't ever experienced it. I should know. I was one until that night. God bless my brother for picking that school. That dorm. You're a part of me now, Lainey. There's no going back. No one and nothing exists before us or after us. My hand spreads wide across her stomach. All that remains is our forever. Forever, she murmurs, earning an answering groan from deep within me. My other hand now flicking open her bra and drawing it down her arms, gripping a bare breast in my palm. I love her breasts. Not too big, not too small, high and tight with nipples that respond eagerly. She bows back, pushing herself against me as she lays a hand flat against the window, an outline of steamy fog instantly forming around it. My free hand rubs circles lower and lower down her stomach until I can take no more and release her breast, using both hands to unfasten, then yank down her pants. Even when I'm not with you, I feel you. Do you feel me? When we're apart? I use one finger to trace her spine. Do you long for me? Think of me touching you? Can you close your eyes and see us as one in your mind? My question is a sultry rumble I can't disguise in between bites to her earlobe and jawline. My hands have returned to her boobs, squeezing greedily in between tweaks to each nipple.
Yes. Yes, Dane.
Her breath fogs the glass in front of me, temporarily distorting my view of nature's upset outside. One finger now seeks out her sweet spot, tracing that which pulses for me, circling her wettest point. You are mine, and I am yours. There's nothing I wouldn't do to keep you, Lainey. Keep you safe. Keep you happy. Keep you with me. Only with you do I feel whole. Do I love you right, Lainey? I clasp the hand at her side and lift it, placing it flat against the window to join the first, then shift slightly to stand directly behind her. My hand skimmed the outline of her body, molding over those delicious curves excruciatingly slow, teasing her hips with a squeeze before slinking to the insides of her thighs.
Just right, babe. Just right,
she answers, trying to turn to me. I stop her with a firm tightening on her hips, keeping her back to me.
Dane,
she begs,
let me love you.
Without acknowledging her plea, my hands begin their up and down survey of her body again. I could pick her out of a lineup by touch alone. Every line, dip, bump, and curve has been seared into my brain. I love your body, Lainey. So soft and feminine, yet hard and perfect in all the right places. Just made for me. Feel how you fit my hands. I grunt, fitting both cheeks of her ass, by far my favorite part of her body, in my hold. I have to know I live in your heart, your soul, Lainey, like you do in mine, that nothing can touch us. We are unbreakable. Her head falls forward, forehead meeting the steamy window, and she moans through her shuddering as my hands knead her ass, spreading it apart for one digit to tease the part of her I've yet to take. We are so far from that point, or so I thought. But the sinful noises coming from her as I tease her there. Methinks she doth not protest too much. I need you, I say, mouth open, wet along her back. Need to feel close to you right now.
Take me,
she shamelessly cries, pushing that glorious ass harder against me. Don't move your hands. I pull down my zipper and don't argue for once. Now the rest of my clothing finds the floor. Be my good girl, I croon in her ear.
Yours,
she moans. So freaking sexy. The more I talk, the deeper my voice, the stricter my direction, the more she responds. She was made for me. Bend. I push only slightly on her back, and she bends like a double-jointed sex goddess, yearning to be taken there. The place where we are both whole. I push on the bend of her back once more, just to really stir her up. Get that sexy ass up in the air, baby. I ease into her slowly and hold her hips to keep her from thrashing back against me like I know she so desperately wants to. You always feel so right, Lainey. I manage on a pant, so tight around me. Squeeze me, baby. I am now the beggar, and my knees damn near buckle under me as she clenches her inner muscles around my dick just the way I like. Squeeze.
release. Squeeze, squeeze, release. Fuck yes, Lainey. Wanna stay here forever. I thrust manically now. I wanna stay in you forever. Harder, she screams, trying again to counter my thrusts, but unable since my lock on her hips is a death grip. I hear her growl in frustration. Lying against her back now, and releasing one of my hands from her hip, I use it to join her faltering grip on the window, holding us steady. Our slick, sweaty skin glides together and feels so damn right. I love you, baby girl. Always you, you and me. I can't help but tell her again and again, sometimes the love, passion, and adoration I feel for this woman is too much to hold inside unspoken. Yes, she wails as I feel my orgasm approaching. One thing I know for sure, because Lainey told me very blatantly, is that it's 30% physical and 70% mental for her. She loves it when I talk, not only dirty, but also tender words telling her how perfect she is, or how much I love her. I gotta work for her to join me in coming. It's never gonna happen just because I tell her it's time. One directive simply doesn't work, no matter what voice I use. Her G-spot remains somewhat elusive, challenging me, as though it's moving around in there to a different place every time. But we'll get there, and I'm ecstatic about the practice it will take. For now, her clit is her hot spot, but it isn't a hair trigger. I have to touch it just right, at the right time, for the right amount of time. That I have mastered. And honestly, it turns me on like nothing ever has or could to take the time and effort needed to please Lainey. She's no easier fake lay. When she comes, I feel like a king. Tell me, Lainey. I suck on her back. Tell me you love me. Tell the fucking people in Georgia who you belong to, I hiss, plowing into her with vigor, raw and needy, coming from somewhere deep inside me that needs to know I have her. I love you, Dane, love you, she pants out, tensing around me, ready. I reach around to her clit and press down with just the right amount of pressure, swirling it two or three times before pinching it gently. That starts her off, one deep continuous moan escaping her as I feel the hot extra moisture. Keep going, baby. With me, I switch from a pinch to rubbing again, knowing she'll ride it out while I come if I don't stop. The squeezing from inside her becomes one constant vice grip around my dick, and I let myself go with a guttural roar that comes from deep in my chest. I stare at the ceiling as we lay in bed, counting the time between thunder and lightning in my head. She's naked beside me, making that little puffing noise she does as she falls asleep, with one arm thrown across her middle. I know she's still actually awake by the rhythm of her breathing. She has four rhythms. Asleep, falling asleep, dreaming well, and dreaming badly. Not that I stay awake sometimes just to look at her, watch her in peace, drinking in every flinch of her eyelids or twitch of her nose. I wait patiently for either sleep to take us both completely, or for my mind to decide what to do about my discontent. Our bodies are touching. I never allow, even in my deepest state of rest, that connection to be lost. But right now it feels like there are miles between us. How do you measure success? I randomly blurt out quietly, perhaps part of me hoping she doesn't hear me. Well, that depends. She comes right back. I knew she wasn't sleeping. I knew she felt it too. That's something in the air. So of course she was primed and ready to dive right into the conversation once I dared to start it. I can't speak for yours, or anyone else's success as a whole. But I can't tell you how I measure my own. She turns her body and nestles in closer to me, curling her arm around my waist and snuggling into my neck. How? I ask as I kiss the top of her head. If I know I left 200% of myself with it, I succeeded. Softball, school, an exam, a friendship, anything really. As long as, when I walk away, I know I couldn't have tried any harder, given any more of myself to it. And I truly believe what I did was right. Then I was successful.
She lifts her head and looks up at me.
Why do you ask?
I feel out of sorts. And I'm not giving my all if I don't have passion for it. Right? Her body tenses in my arms, speaking to me without words. I'm talking about my job, Angel. You, I lift her chin higher and kiss her lips, are more than my passion. You're my existence.
Then what is it, babe?
I want to be young with you. I want to experience college and this whole stage of life with you. I'm too young to play CEO all day, right?
If you're unhappy, then yes. You should change things. But what do you do with the company? And what would you do all day?
I haven't ironed out all the exact details yet. But I'm going to. I stroke her back, finding solace in the feel of her soft skin on mine. I'll appoint a CEO and be the silent owner or something. I don't know exactly how it will work, but I'll make it work. And I could go to school. With you.
To study business?
She giggles, tugging on my nipple with an impish grin. I swat her ass playfully. No smartass. I was thinking something in music. She raises herself up, nudging me to lay flat on my stomach. I comply, and she climbs on top of my back, straddling my waist and starting in on an intense shoulder massage.
You'll figure it out,
she declares confidently.
I know you will. And I will be right beside you.
Lainey?
Hmm?
Thank you, I sigh, her magic hands digging into the tight-stressed muscles in my shoulders and lulling me close to sleep.
For?
For supporting me. For not telling me I'm being stupid or irresponsible. I was really worried you'd think that.
Babe, your life is yours to do with what you want, not what's thrust upon you. I don't think your father would want you unhappy. And it's not like you're letting the company go to pot. You're coming up with a plan.
She leans down and places kisses where her fingers touched. Wet, open-mouth kisses that soothe even the tensest of muscles.
I'm proud of you. Plus, it's sexy when you take control.
You don't have to point a flashing sign at the innuendo for me. I roll beneath her now, looking up to the face I want to see every day for the rest of my life. Her little smirk pulling up one side of her rosebud lips tells me she's pleased her inference hit its mark. And so I take control, and take some more, until we both fall asleep happily exhausted. Chapter 5. Dame. Lainey is curled up, warm, sleepy, and sweet in my black sheets, her blonde hair spread out across the dark pillow. It'd be a shame to wake her. Too bad. I haven't been this excited about my day in a long time. I pull back the sheet, revealing that round, delectable ass, and swat it. Hard. Get up, baby. I've got a bet to win.
That hurt, she grumbles,
reaching a hand back to rub the sting I just left.
Leave me alone. I'm sleeping.
She pulls my pillow over her head and yanks the sheet back up for cover.
Go find something to do, please. 1 hour. That's all I need.
One could play this game with Lainey all day if they allowed it. She will beg for 30 minutes when I come back in an hour, then 15. Then, next thing I know, it's noon. Not happening. I've taken the rest of the week off work, putting Gary Medlock at the helm, and I'm ready to rock. Baby, please don't force me to dump cold water on you. It'd pain me to have to do it. But if your sweet ass isn't in the shower in 5 minutes, I can't be blamed for my actions. One groggy chocolate-colored eye emerges from under the pillow, narrowed evilly.
You wouldn't dare.
She hisses in an adorable, sleepy, not-at-all-intimidating voice. She really needs to develop a taste for coffee. I could just pry open her mouth and pour it down her,
saving us both a lot of time and misery in the mornings. I walk to the end of the bed and grab her ankles, attempting to drag her off. But she manages to get a good grip on the headboard, halting my efforts. In all fairness, I did kinda wear her out last night, if I do say so myself. But I'm up. So she will be too. It's time to bring out the big guns. Okay, baby. You sleep. I'll just head on over to the duplex myself and get started on my room. Don't worry, I won't mess with yours. Or peek. Promise. That's the ballgame, folks. Our coma victim has new life, springing out of bed, glaring at me the whole way as she stomps to the shower. I knew she wouldn't be able to resist. The thought of me getting one up on her was too much for her to take. Wait till she goes down for breakfast.
Lainey. Oh, he plays dirty. First the threat of water, then forcible dragging me out of the bed, followed by clear hitting below the belt with threats of cheating. And now this? Damn, he's good. On the bar is a huge vase of light purple roses, almost exactly the color I'd chosen for my new bedroom, with a white card leaning up against it. For you, written on the outside. Beside that is a line of cereal boxes, all my favorites. I walk over and first smell the flowers, letting my nose linger. A trembling hand reaches for the card, and I open it. He didn't have this done. He wrote it himself. The gesture impacting my heart. Lainey, the first time I ever met you, had the privilege of laying eyes upon your beauty. You were wearing a shirt the same color as these flowers. Lavender. I try to think back. Ah, yes, he's right. The night of the hall crawl, I had on jeans, silver flip-flops, and sure enough, a lavender t-shirt. Wow. Just wow. I read further. I would later learn that lavender is also the scent I've come to know as Lainey. You always smell heavenly, filling my senses with all that is you. It's very fitting. The shirt, your smell, these flowers. Lavender roses have traditionally been known to convey enchantment and love at first sight. And you, my love, had me enchanted at first sight for certain. And love? Well, I knew at right then that if anyone could get me to love, it would be you. And you did. And I do. I love you, baby. XOXO. D. My God, this man. There's no way he can be real. I don't consider myself a frilly, sappy kind of girl, but that? Well, sign me up for Saps Anonymous because I'm in. This gift is a wonderful reminder that while Dane is as alpha caveman as a woman like me can stand, he's every bit as romantic and thoughtful. He sneaks up behind me and wraps his arms around my waist. Do you forgive me now, Miss Morning Glory? I lean back against him. So sweet, babe. I love you too. We'll get used to it. I'll have more free time now for all the special touches. I turn in his arms, taking in his casual outfit. Did you take off all day? I took off all week. And I might do the same the week after that. Depends on how long it takes me to win our bet. He winks at me. Oh, dear, sweet Mr. Kendrick. Just remember, even when you get your ass kicked, if you give it your all, you are still successful. Are you ready to go? I have things to do today, and if you keep running that mouth, we're heading right back up to bed. I am so ready, I purr, pressing my boobs into his chest and reaching down to cup him through his shorts, rubbing up and down, just as he leans down to kiss me. Thinking I'm offering up some morning delight, I back away and finish my sentence. To whip your ass. See you in the car. I scamper off as he stands alone, adjusting himself. Home Depot is perhaps the greatest store on earth. I mean, except for the Disney store, but that goes without saying. Dane and I are here in the depot and have split up,
Our project's top secret. He's like a kid at Christmas today, with an extra spring in his step I've never seen, and it's so endearing. I'm praying things actually work out the way he's hoping, and he's able to step back from the business and be, well, just be. Everything he does is for someone else. Their happiness, their bank account, their education. It's about time he gets his own happy, which is exactly why I confiscated his cell phone. No work calls today to spoil his bliss. I must say, I'm more than a little surprised when it rings with Jeff Walker displaying on the screen. Why is my dad calling Dane? Daddy? I answer curiously. Hey, Slugger, how are you? Good. Did you know you called Dane's phone, not mine?
I'm not senile yet, Sugar.
Where is your man friend? I need to find out when he's coming to pick up the skill saw. I loaned it to Scott a while back, so I'll have to go pick it up.
What?
What's this?
Skill saw, you say? Enlisting my own father's help against me?
Daddy, this is mutiny. You can't help him beat me. I'm your daughter. You tell him you lost that saw.
What are you babbling about? Help him beat you at what?
I quickly explain the situation to my father, confident he'll see my point and agree to nix the loaning of anything to my home makeover nemesis. If Dane wants a saw,
why does Dane want a saw?
He can buy one, 'cause my family tree is closed for business. However, my father sees things differently, choosing instead to hone in on the fact that Dane bought me a place, off campus.
You're moving in with a guy you've been dating for, what, 6 months, and you're just telling me?
That's not okay with me, Lainey Joe.
How is it possible I forgot to tell him?
Perhaps the mortal fear of the wrath of Daddy caused a subconscious mental block. He's not living there too, Daddy. It's mine. He got it for me so I didn't have to live in the dorm anymore. I can have a big bed and a fridge. I can cook real meals now. And Bennett lives right on the other side.
Why wouldn't Bennett just live with you?
Not at all Catholic, I knock out a speedy sign of the cross, asking for forgiveness for what I'm about to do. You know, throwing my friend under the bus to make myself look better. Because, Daddy, I say in full-on little girl voice, she is living with her boyfriend on her side. I owe Bennett a really nice guilt gift.
Oh, well then, he grumbles. In that case, I guess I'm happy for you, kiddo. That was awful nice of him. And I'm glad to hear you can cook. You can probably do your laundry right there too, huh?
Yep, it's got a laundry room, guest room too. You can come and stay with me.
Preferably before Sawyer moves in. Lainey Walker, please come to outdoor living. The PA crackles through the store. Lainey Walker, to outdoor living, please.
Daddy, I have to go now. I'm being overhead paged in Home Depot.
Shit, Slugger, you break something?
No, Daddy. I laugh. I'm sure it's Dane having me paged.
All right, then, go find him. And have him call me.
No saw, Daddy. I mean it.
Bye, honey.
He chuckles and hangs up. I'm loving, carefree Dane. The childlike smirk on his face when our eyes connect as I walk into the outdoor living section is the cutest thing I have ever seen. Comfy? I giggle and ask my crazy man, who is sprawled out in one of the hot tubs on display. Not near or next to. In.
I am.
He nods and winks at me, arms draped out behind him along the edges of the tub. But I need you to get in here, too. Make sure it's big enough. I turn at the sound of a cough behind me and see a guy, probably my age, barely containing his laughter at Dane's performance. Do people usually sit in them to test them out? I ask him, hoping this is normal and we're not actually the spectacle that I suspect.
No, not usually, he snorts. But it's okay if you want to join him.
Far be it from me to take 1 ounce of Dane's fun away from him. So naturally, I sling a leg over the side unabashedly and join him in the empty hot tub in the middle of Home Depot. Absolutely normal.
Why are you thinking about a new hot tub? Something wrong with yours?
No.
He crooks a finger at me, beckoning me to come closer.
I would like to humbly ask you to discuss with me the benefits of putting this on your back deck.
Oh, babe. Good job. I pat his leg patronizingly. Thank you for asking first. But no, you've given me enough already. I won't take advantage of your generosity with non-essentials. I can survive without a hot tub. I lean over and kiss his cheek. But thank you anyway.
But what if I can't survive without it?
Some of our finest moments have been in a hot tub. I think we need one at each place. He's now rubbing his nose up and down my neck, almost making me forget where we are. In public. Home Depot, of all places.
While I appreciate the fact that you want to discuss this in the middle of the store, sitting in a display tub, can we please get out and talk about it later?
Prude. He nips my neck.
Exhibitionist. I pinch his thigh. Come on. I climb out, looking around to see that, why, yes, we do have a small audience.
Ah, fuck it. I take a bow. By the way, I tell him when he joins me, my dad called you back. I dart my eyes to his.
I know all about your skill saw treachery. Not only did I forbid him from helping you, but...
Well, have fun calling him back. I kinda sorta forgot to tell him until today you bought his only daughter a love shack. And with that, I sashay down the aisle, really letting my hips rock enticingly for the slack-jawed hottie standing frozen in place behind me. I'm just loving all the chances I'm getting to do that to him lately.
Chapter 6. Dane. Bless you, Nellie, for batter up. I literally can't look away from her booty popping to the beat. And so talented she is. Twerking while she paints the kitchen. Amazing. Good God, I mutter to myself. Seriously considering attacking her. That's it. Reach way up high to get that spot. Yep, on your tiptoes. Now hold it. Shit. Dropping your paintbrush is probably not the best way to not get caught spectating with your tongue hanging out. She, of course, hears the brush hit the tile and turns, raising her eyebrows at me with a sweet smirk.
Need something, babe?
I nod, afraid to speak as my voice might crack like a randy teenager.
And what would that be?
I...
You dropped something,
she points out, bending down in front of me to pick up my paintbrush for me. Then walking back to the sink, wetting a rag.
Let me wipe that up before it dries.
Now she's on her hands and knees. And once the mess is gone, and the rag tossed on the counter, she maintains position. She looks up at me, eyes almost black, darkened with seduction.
What is it you said you needed?
One thing I haven't quite mastered yet, which I suspect is a problem for all men, is exactly what flips her switch. She's almost never the aggressor, so it gets my blood to boil when Lainey turns it on, takes the reins, and makes it brazenly clear she wants me. I try to catalog the moments, like now, to find the common denominator. A word I use, certain clothes, a look, anything to clue me into the trigger. But so far, I remain dumbfounded. The day I figure it out, that'll be the day I weep like a baby and praise the heavens on my knees. But for now, I'll just be thankful for it happening on its own every once in a blue moon. I need whatever you want to give me, baby. I answer honestly.
Hmm.
She rises on her knees, lifting the bottom of my shirt and tracing the lines in my abs with the tip of her tongue.
And I need for you to take this shirt off.
I reach behind my head and pull it off in a blink, tossing it somewhere. Now what? Any time I can get Lainey talking, I increase my odds that she'll talk dirty, taking me to a whole new stratosphere. When I'm in charge, I'm all the way in charge. But every once in a while, my girl makes me crazy. I love her filthy mouth when I can get it going. She unbuttons my shorts, pulling down my zipper as she peers up at me.
You tell me.
What a tease. Already giving up. I lean over her, placing both my hands on the counter. No, baby. This is your show. I want to see what you got. Rising to the challenge, she kisses my abdomen, my hips, and drops my shorts and briefs to my ankles. My dick is rock hard. I think it may actually be leaning towards her mouth on its own. She's kissing all around it, little bites here and there. And one hand is playing roughly with my balls. But Big Guy is still left unattended. Put your mouth on me, baby. I whine as one of my hands comes off the counter and digs into her hair, guiding her head where I need her most.
Where? Here?
She ducks her head and takes one of my balls in her mouth, sucking it in and out, pressing that oh fuck spot right behind it. Yes, I taught her that, and she knows what it does to me. Ball action is always good, but I'm dying to be fully in her mouth right now. Baby, fuck, I pant, twisting her hair tightly around my hand. Get my dick in your mouth. Suck the shit out of it. Oh, she's asking for it. I'm 5 seconds away from showing her what gorgeous girls who don't listen get. Finally, her mouth closes around the head, right under the cap, sucking softly. She grips the base and pumps, taking nothing more in her hot little mouth. I would never just shove it down her throat, but damn, she's trying my patience. Fork in blowjob. What path do I take? Get growly and demanding, or beg sweetly and pathetically? Lainey, I warn her in a strained growl, and feel her giggle on the head of me, which actually feels pretty damn good. And as crazed as I am, a mad stroke of genius still hits me. And I know exactly how to get this stubborn, teasing minx to deep-throat me. It's okay, baby. You'll get better at it. Ah, there we go. Hell yes. Now she's going to town, lips curled under and tight against my length. No break in suction. Her tongue presses hard up and down the vein, while her fingers follow the same pattern on my taint. That's it, baby. Just like that. Mm-hmm. So good, Lainey, I moan, spurring her on. I wrap one of my own hands around the bottom of my shaft, making sure I measure a stopping point, and then start fucking her face like a maniac. She's a champ, actually really good at this, and puts both her hands on my hips, letting me direct the pace. One hand in her hair, the other around my base. I feel that tingle start in my balls, creeping up the vessels in my dick, a welcomed high. Gonna come, baby. You want it? She nods, looking up at me while she grips my hips even harder in her hands, and my dick with her lips. I throw my head back and let go, let it all go, anything that isn't Lainey and me insignificant. My beautiful girl stays right there with me, taking it, giving me exactly what I need. I try to pull out of her mouth when I'm done, but she attempts to hang on just a little longer, like she wants more. Very sexy, but I just came, so the head's a little sensitive. I win the battle and pull up my pants, then drop to my knees to join her. What was all that teasing? I ask, kissing up and down her neck. She moans through a giggle. I don't know what you're talking about. No. Let me show you. I lay her back on the kitchen floor and proceed to show her that two can play at this game, using my mouth and tongue to torment her. Twice.
Lainey. Babe? I call through the door. You getting hungry? Yeah, let me wrap up in here and I'll go get something. How about I just order some pizza and salads? Call and invite Tate and B over? Sounds good, he calls back. I call in our order, which means at least 3 pizzas to not only feed everyone, but make sure everyone gets what they like. I'm a black olive girl, Dane pepperoni, Tate pineapple, and Bennett salad only, that is, until you're not looking, and then she'll sneak a bit of anything. I start straightening up the construction zone in the living room, enough to make room for a carpet picnic since I have no furniture. I just don't see the point of bringing in a bunch of stuff that I'll just have to cover when I paint. Paint first, furniture last. Hello? Bennett knocks and calls out as she opens the door. Not that I mind, but the earlier activities in the kitchen need not be walked in on. So maybe I'll say something to her. I'm not sure when I became a nympho. I thought I read where women don't crave it until their late 30s. But I love feeling close to Dane. And with the free time of summer, and him off work, we're becoming a lot like rabbits. Come in, I finally respond, awkwardly fantasizing sexcapades while they stand there. Pizza should be here soon. What's new? I cop a squat on the floor so they'll know to do the same. Why do you still not have any furniture? Bennett asks, looking around the room, confusion covering her pretty face. Because she's trying to paint herself into the ground first. Dane answers for me as he comes down the hall and man-hugs Tate. How are you, bro? Better than you, man. I have a place to sit. Tate says to him, but shoots me a teasing grin. We're almost done. I'm going furniture shopping this weekend, in fact, I say proudly. At garage sales, Dane grumbles under his breath, but I catch it. So, I butt in, not again going to have that conversation. Have you guys talked to Sawyer lately? I feel like he's fallen off the face of the planet. I see him at work. Tate shrugs. Seems fine, I guess. Isn't he moving in here with you? I don't know, I haven't talked to him. I need to make a point to call him. Parker's wedding is right around the corner, and I'm sure he'll want to go after staying on the farm with them for a while. And yes, I want to see if he still plans to be my roommate. Speaking of work, though. Tate, how's the gym? Dane had turned over full ownership of the gym to Tate not too long ago, and Bennett helps run the office stuff. I'm so proud of Dane, giving them a way to establish their future. This will be Tate's last year of school coming up, and now he has a plan for after graduation. I know that's a load off all of their minds. Doing great. He winces as he sits down next to Bennett on the floor. We're adding a daycare in the back for the parents who want to come in after work and on the weekends. Bennett's idea. He pats her leg and beams at her proudly. That's a great idea, Bee. I smile warmly. If you guys need people, maybe I could work there a couple nights a week. I love kids, and I could use the extra money. Of course, Bennett replies immediately. You're hired. Yes, Mr. Kendrick, I see you frumping over there, but you'll live. I'm only talking about a few shifts here and there, and I want my own money. Can we eat at our place? This floor is uncomfortable as fuck. Tate whines, reaching an arm behind him to rub his back. Is your back bothering you? Dane asks him, concerned. You go see someone? Nah. Tate waves a hand at him. It's not that bad, just acts up sometimes. You know what I need? A hot tub. Be nice to just soak sometimes. Oh, you have got to be kidding me. Apparently not. Because Tate goes on. Lainey, you don't mind if I put a hot tub out back, do you? Of course, it'd be yours to use, too. If Tate sounded any more like a robot reading off a script right now, I might actually laugh, but since I know what and who's at work here, I will not be laughing. Funny you should mention that, Tate. I turn to Dane, whose eyes remain glued on Tate even though I know he can feel my gaze. Why, just this... Pizza's here! Dane shouts when the bell rings, interrupting me and bum-rushing the door like the pizza guy is going to rescue him. He stands at the door as long as possible, desperately making idle chit-chat with a delivery boy, who's obviously thinking no tip is worth the inquisition. I stroll up behind him and lay one hand on his back. Thank you. I smile at the pizza guy and end the charade by shutting the door. Let's go eat, babe. I play nice, taking his hand and pulling him back in the living room. I let it slide, for now. And we eat together on my floor. Bennett agrees to help me shop for something to wear for the wedding and invites me to some ladies-only party a girl in her drama class is having. Sounds boring as hell, but I agree to do it for B. Tate and Dane shoot the breeze about the K, the gym, and whatever else, until we're all stuffed and unanimously sick of sitting on the damn floor. So I gotta go to work soon. Tate stands and offers a hand down to Bennett. You two should come down for a drink, he says to Dane and I. Dane looks at me. First time in a while, scaredy cat. Leaving it up to me. I'm pooped. We worked really hard in here all day. I think I'd rather just head to your house and collapse in bed. Ready? Aim? Fire. I smile sweetly. Maybe get in the hot tub for a while. He tries to hide it, but his nostrils flare slightly and his eyes grow wider for a split second. He clears his throat and shifts on his feet.
Whatever you want, baby. Rain check?
He asks Tate.
Sure, whatever. You two have fun.
He waves and leads Bennett, who also waves goodbye, out the door. Now that we're alone, I take one small, slow step at a time across the room to him. I see his Adam's apple bob in his throat as I draw near, and he eyes me skeptically. I run one finger from under his chin down his throat.
Shame about Tate's back, I say throatily.
You really need to insist he go see a chiropractor.
My brother is a shit actor, he concedes quickly, blurting it out on a sigh.
Now, I do laugh, because yes, Tate is the complete opposite of his beautiful girlfriend. That was some of the worst acting in the history of the craft. You know what this means, don't you?
I don't, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
His hands slide around my waist, just under my shirt, so he feels my bare skin, pulling me against him.
Do your worst, baby, he says with a kiss to my forehead.
If you really want a hot tub back there, go for it, but I tap the end of his nose with my finger. You are going to garage sales with me all day Saturday, and you will smile the whole time. Not one frown or grumble. He smiles, his handsome face lighting up and sending shivers through me, much like every time.
I can do that.
Good. Now let's go to your house. I'm about to fall asleep on my feet. Chapter 7. Lainey. After a night of making up in the hot tub and falling into bed completely drained, I wake in his big bed, alone. I'm not surprised. It doesn't take much to wake up before me. So I throw on a robe in case Helen is here and make my way downstairs to the kitchen. No Helen in sight, but a beautiful surprise. Dane has struck again. On the counter sits a large vase filled with roses in every shade of pink. I can't wait to see what the card says. Baby. The opinions vary, and there seems to be no consensus on what color rose really means forgiveness. All that's certain is that 15 of them, any color, mean forgive me. So I went with 15 in pinks. One for the color of your sweet lips, another shade to match your cheeks when I make you blush for me, and last, the perfect pink that always reminds me of you and I together. I'll let you figure out what I mean. I'm sorry for being so headstrong about the hot tub, and I'm sorry I had to run to the office this morning. I should be back by lunch. I love you, and I love doing things for you. So be a good girl. Forgive me and open the box. Always for you. XOXO. D. Punch drunk, I rip off the bow and paper, then throw off the lid. Nestled in the tissue paper is a light pink string bikini and a note. Seeing you in this, worth the battle. Love, your caveman. His thoughtfulness, the creative and fun ways he gets his way. Only a fool wouldn't cave. Besides, he could be always begging me to forgive bad acts. Is it really such a big deal to let good acts slide? Didn't think so.
BYOB. When a guy says this, one knows they mean bring your own beer. When a ladies only party invitation says it, and you're gonna want to remember this, it means bring your own batteries. Why would you need batteries, you ask? Oh, that's simple. Because Kiki, your showstress for the evening, wants to make sure everyone can test the intensity of the vibrators, dildos, and other devices she's passing around the circle on their hands. I mean, who doesn't know that? To say this party is interesting would be the understatement of the year. Bennett is trying to go with the flow, laughing nervously but complying when handed the warming gel and instructed to go try a sample in the bathroom. But me? Well, I'm sitting here spinning... What the... Oh, Jesus, I'm spinning the Benoit balls nervously in my hand, contemplating suicide. I drop them on the ground and look around, hoping no one noticed. Did I mention I won the door prize? Sure enough, I am now the proud owner of the Backdoor Buddy, a huge, purple anal dildo. I may cry. Seriously. Lainey? Showstress Kiki reads my name tag. Would you mind helping with this demonstration?
What?
I choke on my tongue. No, I mean, yes, I would mind. I'm good right here, just, you know, sitting. Are you sure? You haven't participated yet, and I'd like to show everyone how to wear this particular strap on. Don't worry, we'll slide it right on over your clothes. Bennett comes out of the bathroom, her cheeks flushed slightly, and lays the tube on the table. I'm saved. Bennett will do it. I point at her with a trembling finger. I get more and more comfortable with my sexual side every day. But with Dane. Alone. This isn't alone. This is a room full of brazen as hell women that I don't even know. Maybe I'm a prude. Because all of the other girls are giggling, sharing way too much information about their personal lives, and happily testing every sample handed to them. I'm still sort of hoping the floor will swallow me.
Do what? Bennett asks, slightly squirming, like she has to pee.
Are you okay, dear? Kiki asks her. Bennett leans in her head and whispers something, and Kiki takes her by the hand, leading her back to the bathroom.
WTF?
I get up and walk to the bathroom, checking what's going on with my friend, thanking God we've averted the strap-on demo.
What's wrong with her?
I ask Kiki, who's standing outside the closed door.
She just used a little too much of the hot tingle gel. I told her to wash it off. She'll be fine. Now.
She places a hand on my shoulder.
Let's see if I can't figure out the perfect item for you.
No, no, that's okay. I shake my head, backing away from her with my hands out in front of me. I don't need anything. I have a front door buddy, and he does just fine. Thank you.
Did I really just say that?
As soon as Bennett's done in there, we have to go. I'm late for church. She laughs loudly, tossing her head back, then looking at me once again.
No need to be embarrassed, sweetie. You're young, and that's wonderful. One day, you'll need this stuff.
Look me up when you do. She pats my cheek and walks away.
Bee!
I hiss through the door, knocking lightly.
Bee, open the door.
The door opens, and Bennett tugs me in, slamming it quickly.
Oh, my God, Lainey. Cha-cha's on fire. I think I may have done permanent damage.
I pull a hand slowly down my face, hardly believing this is really happening to me.
I can only assume Cha-Cha is your vagina, I ask.
Yes, Tater, but
don't say it.
I cut my hand over my mouth, teetering one toe over the edge of my limit.
I know what you call him, and now, like a Christmas miracle, I know what he calls your vag.
Awesome.
How much of that tingle stuff did you put on?
Judging by the fact that this whole damn bathroom smells like a Vicks factory, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, too much.
I don't know.
She whines as she dances from foot to foot. But I washed it off like 4 times and it still burns like hell. What am I gonna do?
I think we need to get you in a bathtub where you can soak it off. Go to the truck, I'll grab our stuff and meet you there.
Okay.
She nods, tears welling in her eyes. And Bennett?
I turn back, one hand on the doorknob.
If you ever think about bringing me to a party like this again, I will hold you down and choke you with my backdoor buddy.
Ladies?
Tate slurs slightly from the couch, one beer too many in his hand.
Did you have fun?
I roll my eyes. I'm not sure fun is the exact word I'd use.
A little help here?
I bark. How can they not see how obviously pained Bennett is? She has one arm draped around my neck and is yelping with every step we take. Both the boys jump up now and rush over to help me with her.
What's wrong, honey?
Tate asks worriedly. She broke her CU next Tuesday and can't walk, I answer for her. Dane whips his head to face me, the edge of his mouth twitching amongst a look of shock.
She what?
Tingly gel is no bueno. Now help Tate get her to the bathroom. I'll grab a change of clothes for her. Tate, lukewarm water in the tub, no bubbles or oils or anything.
Why is everyone just staring at me?
Move, people, stat!
That's more like it. Jeez.
They help Bennett hobble towards the bathroom while I go to their room and dig through her drawers, finding some loose PJ pants and a t-shirt. No panties today, I think. I open the bathroom door and set them on the counter, taking in what must be the funniest sight my eyes have ever beheld. Dane has his eyes closed and face turned away, all while trying to hold Bennett up. Tate is on his knees helping her get undressed while Bennett is screaming,
"Blow on it! Blow on it!"
Clothes are on the counter, B. I can't help but snicker.
You gonna be okay?
Surely it'll go away in a minute, right?
She looks at me helplessly, eyes doubtful and worried.
I mean, they wouldn't see it if it really was flesh-eating poison, right?
Right.
I nod. Get in the water, you'll be fine.
Like in how long? Tate questions.
Would you say, if you were guessing?
It's a snuggle and talk about your feelings night, bro, Dane surmises.
Just get it out of your head right now.
Oh my God, Tate, is that what you're worried about?
Bennett, completely naked now, glares down at him, scowling as he turns the knob beside him completely to cold.
No, honey, No, shut up, Dane.
All right. She looks ready to get in. Dane and I are gonna leave.
Love you, B.
Love you. She whimpers over the sound of the running bathwater.
Thank you.
Dane's still smirking when we get back to the living room, picking up for them before we leave.
So, tell me more about this party.
You don't want to know.
Oh, but I do.
He assures me, taking me in his arms.
Did you try anything out?
God, no. I push at him. I did win a door prize, though. He groans, letting his head fall forward.
Please tell me it's not one of those supersonic clit flicker things.
What, one of those what? And how the hell do you know anything about female sex toys?
I back away, looking into his guilty face.
I don't.
He shakes his head frantically.
I've just heard.
Heard what? From who?
Stuff.
He rubs the back of his neck.
And, Sawyer?
If you want me to believe you, lose the next time.
It's okay, I don't need to know.
I grab his hand and open the door.
Let's just go home. It's been a long night.
You didn't, though, right?
He lifts our linked hands and kisses mine, then opens my car door for me.
Try any whizzing, flicking things?
I look up at him from the seat and give him the stink eye, so he hurriedly shuts the door and climbs in his side.
No,
I speak up as we pull out of the driveway. I didn't sample masturbatory items in a stranger's bathroom.
And I'm wondering if you hit your head while I was gone, since you even had to ask.
Thank God, he mumbles,
finding my hand once again and squeezing. Those toys aren't fair to guys.
How so? I ask, curious as to exactly where he's going with this.
They set us up for failure. My tongue and fingers will never be able to move as fast as a couple AA batteries. If you get used to that, I'll pale in comparison.
I can't help laughing, my eyes actually watering.
Good to know. I'll keep that in mind.
Seriously, baby.
It'd be like me sticking a vacuum hose on my dick, right?
I'm starting to think you really did have this conversation with Sawyer. That's something he'd say.
It was, and for once I agreed with him. So we're agreed, no flickers for you and no vacuums for me. I wipe the tears out of my eyes and agree, but just can't resist the idea that hits me as we drive.
Waiting until we pull in his garage, I decide to have some fun. Yeah, no flickers for me tonight.
I feign a casual yawn, getting out and walking to the door.
I did try on some chastity belt thing, though, and we couldn't find the key.
I'm locked up. No telling how long it will take Kiki to find it.
Wayne?
He asks worriedly, trying to catch up since I'd just walked in the house nonchalantly.
Baby? Baby, you're kidding, right? Those things don't really exist, do they? Lainey?
Don't worry, babe. I brought you home a buddy for you.
I call behind me on my way to the bedroom. Sawyer told him my ass.
That'll teach him to bring up his past to me.
Chapter 8. Dane. Garage sales. Where to begin? Lainey has exactly $210 with her. And with that small amount, she plans to outfit her duplex in decent furniture. I call bullshit. No way is she pulling that off. She said, watch me. One thing we've both agreed on, thank God, is no used mattresses. That's just disgusting. At the first sale, I get out of her truck and tentatively follow her up the driveway. A garage sale virgin, I'm simply following her lead. I stand behind her and try not to interfere or laugh as she haggles with an old man over a kitchen table and chairs. It's like watching a professional auction. The two of them going back and forth so fast that all you hear is, hey, Nanamana Baba. I certainly didn't hear them reach an agreement, but they shake hands, and Lainey rips the $60 price tag off the table and hands it, along with $25 in cash, to him, grinning from ear to ear. Grab that side, she tells me as she lifts her own, and soon the four chairs are also loaded, and we're on our way. I just stare over at her in amazement. My sassy girl driving her pickup truck, seemingly unimpressed with her own keen negotiation skills. I think it's hot as hell, and I can't decide which I want to do more. Demand she pull over and attack her, or offer her a job. You talked him down $35, baby. That was more than you even paid.
Yeah?
She looks at me with a smirk, then back to the road.
So?
So you're quite the haggler, Ms. Walker. Where'd you learn to do that?
Growing up with my dad and all his friends. You know, with poker night and guitar night, you pick up two kinds of talking. Shit and fast.
I shake my head and grin. My girl sure is something. The next sale we pass, according to Lainey, doesn't even warrant stopping, so we pull a drive-by. What exactly does one look for in determining the stopworthiness of a sale, I ask, trying not to laugh.
Big-ticket items. That was just a bunch of boxes to dig through.
Big-ticket items. Oh, dear God, she's serious. What about this one? I point to a yard full of stuff coming up on the right. I see a bike. And a lamp.
And end tables. Could I, babe?
She pulls onto the curb and jumps out, making a beeline for the end tables. Again, I was being a smartass, whereas she thinks we struck gold. I'm gonna try and be a good sport, though. She really seems to enjoy this, so I take a new attitude and begin to peruse some items thrown on a table. Newer baseball cards. Junk. Old VHS movies. Crap.
Fish tank, no thank you. Books, never. Wait a damn minute. For some reason, out of the whole pile, my eyes zero in on the title Winnie the Pooh. There it sits, a dusty old book with an ugly green cover. And I know just the person who will love it. I pick it up and open it. It's not a first edition or anything, but old, with that distinct scent of aged literature. I flip it over, looking for a price tag, but there's not one. So I wander over to the woman that I'd seen taking money from other people. How much is this book? I ask her.
50 cents.
I dig my money clip out of my pocket and hand her a five, glancing around for Lainey. She's in a heated debate with yet another older man, this time over the end tables. Do you have a bag? I kind of want to hide it.
Sure.
The elderly woman smiles at me and hands me my change, then digs out a blue plastic bag.
Here you go.
Thank you, I say and hide the book in the bag as I walk over to Lainey.
This is highway robbery.
If you want those prices, open a store, she spouts at him, one hand on her hip.
Those are Queen Anne legs on those tables, young'un,
the man urges, then turns his head and spits.
You ready, baby?
I reach out and touch her arm, trying to stop her from verbally accosting the nice old man any further. She turns and notices the bag in my hand.
You bought something?
Her voice goes up a pitch excitedly.
See? Fun, right?
Yeah,
I chuckle.
See?
She turns back to the poor guy.
We already bought one thing. So that makes us paying customers. Since you made my stuffy old boyfriend here happy, I'll go $20 for both. Final offer.
Deal.
The man's shoulders relax and he wipes his brow, taking money from Lainey's hand quickly, then backing away.
Good luck, son, he says to me.
What'd you get, babe?
She asks me, unfazed by her scuffle. I give her lips a light kiss, because she's just too fucking adorable not to. It's a surprise.
What did you buy, hard ass?
These two tables. You grab one, I'll grab the other. And be careful with the legs, they're antique.
Lainey.
I mock disgust, one hand to my chest. Did you just swindle that dear old grandpa out of his antiques?
Listen, if you put your stuff out for sale, you're asking for negotiations. I simply took his invitation and negotiated.
Anybody ever tell you you're kind of scary?
You're not scared of me.
She lifts one of the tables and starts to walk to the truck, turning back to me with a brilliant smile.
That's all that matters.
I'm a lot of things when it comes to Lainey. Mostly fascinated. More so every day. But definitely not scared.
When the back of her truck can't hold one more thing, we call it a day. All I bought was the book, which I got to take with me, and a $3 broken vase, which I got to pay for and sweep up. Some crabby old bitch thought I was making a move for a picture she wanted and dive-bombed me. I swear her dangling upper arm knocked the vase off, but I'd pay $3 time and time again to get the hell out of there. Now she was scary. And Lainey. Miss Thang got a dinette set, two end tables, a nightstand for her room, a huge box of dishes, a TV, and several knick-knacks. Something else Lainey taught me about today, for $87. Yes, that's under $100. Under $90 even. And it's all pretty nice stuff. I am in total awe of her right now. I'm certainly able to appreciate the value in paying less for something. And it actually turned out to be a lot of fun. It was kind of like a treasure hunt. Never knowing what we'd find next. Once all her new purchases are cleaned up and in her house, it still looks like she got robbed. There are a lot of items still on her list and money still left in her pocket. So we have to fill in the stuff we couldn't find in people's lawns.
A deal's a deal, baby, I announce. I get to buy the rest now, right?
Well, I had an idea. Like a new improved deal.
She smiles, batting her eyelashes and rubbing herself against me.
How about if you buy some stuff and I'll work it off at the gym? Rather than pay me, Tate can pay you back what I earn. I love that she loves me for anything other than my money, but enough is enough. I'm tired of her fighting me every step of the way just so I can help her furnish her place. I finally have her time, and I'm sure as hell not sharing with the gym. The $100 she'd clear isn't worth the many hours she'd have to be gone to earn it. How about if we get you a damn bed already and worry about it later, I suggest. If you want to keep a tab, go right ahead and we'll figure something out. Promise you'll let me pay it back? Somehow, yes, I promise. Infinite possibilities.
Chapter 9. Lainey. Judgment Day. May the best decorator win. Our judges are Tate, Bennett, and the elusive Sawyer Landon Beckett, who had finally gotten to show his face. He's not talking, and we're not asking. Skirting around his somber mood until he's ready to share. Zach, Evan, and Whitley are still at Parker's farm, and Dane boycotted my absentee ballot plan. Something about not appreciating the ambiance of his room unless you're in it. I called him Nancy again. 'Cause ambiance, really? Oh, and because he attacks me and shows me he's not a Nancy when I say it. Win-win. So we let the three of them into the room I did first. Known to them simply as Room 1. Except for Bennett, but that's our little secret. The walls are light purple, or champagne elegance, and all the trim is now bright white. The solitary window has billowy, floor-length sage green drapes that match the leaves on the bedspread. The bed itself is a thing of beauty. Queen-sized mahogany wood with four tall posts and tons of different purple, green, and beige pillows. It's my favorite part of the room by far. The dresser is the same wood as the bed, purchased as a set. And the nightstand I got for a steal is a close match. Atop them both are groups of candles and assorted brown picture frames with shots of Dane and me, as well as the crew. Two sage accent rugs line the floor, and the walls each have abstract art pictures, one of which I swiped from the hall at my dad's house and have absolutely no fear he'll ever notice or care. I couldn't love the space any more if I tried. It's tranquil and just feminine enough. Plus, the minute I walk inside, I feel lighter somehow. This is the first time Dane's seen it, of course, and he looks at me from the corner of his eye and winks. He likes it. And as crazy as it sounds, that makes me feel like I've already won. When the trio of judges have seen enough, we move to Room 2. I try not to gasp out loud, lest revealing that obviously Dane did it, if I haven't seen it either. But it's hard not to, as I am truly taken aback. I should have expected nothing less than tasteful beauty from my man, and he's delivered tenfold. He chose a light blue for the walls, and a fresh, crisp white for the trim as well, really making the blue color pop. The bed we chose for this room, assuming it will be Sawyer's, is a California King sleigh bed in a light pine. The dresser and nightstand match, and there's one big, light brown rug on the floor. I would have already said the room has a light, airy, beachy feel to it, but the pièce de résistance really drives that message home. It takes my breath away, and will undoubtedly win him this competition. A bookshelf now standing tall against the wall by the closet door. I don't know when or how, but I know he wouldn't cheat, meaning Dane made it with his own two hands. The bookcase is light pine and magnificent, shaped like a canoe with four little shelves. For a moment, I let myself imagine him, shirtless and sweaty, running his nimble fingers up and down the wood, intricately carving each piece, mastering it much like his fingers master everything they touch. This time, it's me that steals a peek, and Dane is already looking back at me, searching my eyes for approval. He never ceases to amaze me. Brilliant, kind, funny, a musician,
And now he's freaking Geppetto. I would never have guessed he was a woodcarver, never mind a talented one.
Very nice, I mouth, pointing at the shelf. He raises his eyebrow in question.
You like?
He mouths back. I nod slowly, again thinking about how hot this man is, so full of hidden talents.
Can I have one?
Of course, baby. Our silent conversation continues with another one of his winks that buckle my knees.
We've decided.
Bennett intrudes into our little world, and we both look at her.
The vote was 2-1, and the winner is...
She keeps us waiting for what must be a full minute.
This one, room 2.
Dane deserved the win, without a doubt. I couldn't be more proud. Congratulations, I tell him, giving him a big hug. It's beautiful. Your room is gorgeous, baby. He leans in and whispers in my ear. I can't wait to christen it with you. Please tell me you didn't build that shelf with my dad's saw. I mumble into his chest, only sort of joking.
I didn't. He assures me with a laugh. I bought my own.
Why don't you go over there and see what book is on it?
That's right, I did see a book on the shelf. I thought it was just a prop for the judging display.
I walk over and pick it up. 4 sets of eyes on me. If I wrote a book, I'd write Dane exactly how he is. Unbelievable. I wouldn't have to exaggerate or embellish. He's really that good on his own. It's an old copy of Winnie the Pooh. I turn around, weepy-eyed, clutching the book to my chest. I adore it. This is mine, right? They all chuckle at me simultaneously, but Dane steps forward.
Yeah, baby, it's yours.
My first ever garage sale purchase. Another first that's just ours. I nod, understanding the depth of his statement. Sometimes I wish I was all the first to him that he is to me. Well, one in particular. But there are still so many he chooses to give me. The really special ones that go beyond physical experimentation and creep into your soul and stay there. Or just for us. Perfection.
I'll treasure it,
I whisper, walking back into his arms, soaking up his scent. I wish I could bottle it and spritz myself sporadically throughout the day.
Okay, Sawyer pipes up, breaking the mood. As real as this has been, I gotta go. We done here?
Where do you need to be so badly?
Would it kill you to spend some time with your friends?
Tate's voice is menacing, which is completely unlike him. But honestly, we've all been worried about Sawyer.
You're like a ghost lately. I got shit to do. I don't keep tabs on you, do I?
See? This is the weird part. Sawyer's never hateful. He's just not himself these days. Saw? I move to him and place a hand on his arm. We just miss you. That's all. You're still moving in, right? This can be your room. We got you a king bed.
Ah, Gidge.
His hardened glare dissolves now, and I get a slight smile.
You're the best.
Where'd he find you? He says only where I can hear it against my hair as he kisses the top of my head.
I'll be moved in by the time school starts back, okay?
Okay, I murmur, wishing desperately that he'd talk to me. I love Sawyer dearly, and I'd move mountains or die trying to make sure he's happy. We all would. I just wish he'd tell us what's going on. Are you going to Parker's wedding with us?
Wouldn't miss it.
He looks at Dane.
I'll ride with you guys?
Of course, bud.
Dane affirms with a jerk of his head.
And I worked my ass off on this room for you. Get moved into it.
I have no idea when Tate and Bennett crept out, but it's just the 3 of us now. And I can tell by tension in the air before I even check their body language. Dane's going in for the kill, and Sawyer's defenses are coming up.
You know you can come to me with anything. You need something.
I need to know. Dane crosses his arms over his chest and widens his stance.
Oh yeah, like that's gonna work.
He can do that too, babe.
Have you seen Sawyer?
Appreciate it, bro. I do, but there's nothing you need to fix. I don't need to be mothered.
Yeah, how about needing to be friended? Where you been staying?
The veins in Dane's neck and forehead are all on display now.
CJ's,
Sawyer answers,
voice getting louder.
Wow, it got really uncomfortable in here really fast, and I have no idea why.
It's not like he's got track marks up and down his arms or anything. There's no need for that kind of intervention.
I think maybe we all just need to calm down.
Dane, I attempt to mediate.
Saw,
baby.
Dane speaks to me now, keeping his temper in check, but barely. The storm in his eyes and hard set of his jaw are scary, quite frankly.
Can you go find Bennett and see if they want to go to dinner with us?
I'm being dismissed. But I don't care. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to know I want out of this room.
Sure, I falter,
giving Sawyer a questioning glance.
He chuckles. We're fine, Gidge. I'll be moved in soon, okay?
I nod and hustle out of the room and all the way to Bennett's door, knocking feverishly.
Come in,
she says brightly, but then quickly notices my face.
What's wrong? Where's Tate?
Tate? She yells, clutching my shoulders.
Lainey, what's wrong?
I don't know, but Dane wanted me to leave.
I look up as Tate walks in.
Oh, Tate, hey, can you go next door? Dane and Sawyer are... I don't know, something about CJ's and Dane told me to...
Shit, he mutters.
Yeah, I got it.
What is CJ's? What's going on?
Bennett asks me after Tate runs out.
I have no idea, but Dane isn't happy about it and Sawyer's annoyed about being called out and they didn't want me there.
I don't want them fighting or anything.
I bite my nails worriedly.
I'm probably overreacting.
Dane and Sawyer would never really fight.
But damn if I didn't feel like a spectator to something ugly, watching the two of them throwing off testosterone and evil glares like lions circling the one female left in the whole damn jungle.
Stop!
Bennett pulls my hand from my mouth.
It'll be fine.
Tate will calm them down.
She's right.
Tate's the counselor, and he'll mediate, and everyone will calm down and go about their day. There's a story there. And we have this unspoken rule in the crew that we don't air each other's dirty laundry. So I'm gonna have to get it out of Sawyer.
Chapter 10. Lainey. I'm dressed and ready, just waiting for Dane and Sawyer to show up so we can head out to Parker's wedding. I still can't believe he's getting married. And having a baby. And no longer in college, but running the farm. Life sure has a funny way of saying F you to people's plans and deciding things for them.
Is that what's happening? Is Parker's life being decided for him?
I know Parker, and he'll always do the right thing, forgoing whatever it is he wants for what someone else needs. I really hope that isn't the case here. Regardless of what I think, and I'm not even completely sure of my position, it's too late to talk to him about it now. I can't pull him aside at his own wedding and grill him. Besides, Evan's been around. He'd know if things weren't on the up and up. If Evan tells me this is what Parker wants, I'll believe him.
Well, don't you look like a wet dream?
Sawyer's voice startles me and I look up to see him looking down at me with a lecherous smirk.
Gross.
But thank you. I smile and hug him. And you look very handsome as well. I straighten the collar on his light blue button-down shirt, which is tucked in to pressed beige dress pants.
You clean up nice, big boy.
I know. He shrugs and wiggles his eyebrows. But you, Gidge? I didn't figure you even own such a pretty dress.
I didn't, I admit, twirling in my yellow strapless dress and tan platform wedges.
I borrowed it from Bennett. The outfit is pretty casual. I mean, it's a farm wedding in Georgia. But still more feminine than I usually wear.
It's comfy, though. I like it.
Me too.
A lot.
My whole body responds to his voice, a wave of tingly warmth starting at my toes and ending at my cheeks. I turn and take in my man, looking like GQ boss sex on legs. He's in dark slacks, a black belt with silver buckle, and a charcoal shirt and silver tie. I swallow my tongue a little as I shamelessly peruse him from bottom to top. His dark brown hair sticks up just a little in the front, his matching brown eyes bewitching me with their sparkle. I can't help but catapult myself at him. You look wonderful, Mr. Kendrick. Like, too hot to be allowed in public, really. And you... He traces my neckline with his finger, then across my collarbone, which is exposed in this dress. Showing up the bride. Not very nice of you, beautifully sexy girl. Good God, you horny fucksticks, let's go. Sawyer opens the front door with a bang. We don't have time for this. You break the golden rule, Gidge, and we could be here all day, or get plagued by locusts for disturbing the great design. So come on. Oh, I have to ask. What golden rule? Instinctively, Dane's hand tenses in mine. He must know the S-bomb coming, which I'm sure is a real doozy. He smirks, delighted that I asked. You get it up, you gotta take it. Get what? Oh, I get it. I shake my head at him. Good Lord, Sawyer. Good to see the old Sawyers trying to make a comeback, at least. The drive to Parker's isn't tense like I had worried. Dane and Sawyer seem to be over their mysterious argument. We laugh and listen to music like it never happened, and I'm more than a little relieved. When we get there, I can't believe the transformation. Whitley did an amazing job. The wedding is gorgeous. Pink and white done threw up in here, and you can't see the fans she's got hidden somewhere. Blowing hard enough you feel a breeze, though nothing's flying off the tables. Riddle me that one, Batman. But really, you'd never know you were in a barn or in blistering heat. For the ceremony, I take a seat in the front row beside Angie and let a few silent tears fall when I glance to see who's seated on Angie's left. It's an empty chair with Dale's cowboy hat and one single white rose. He's there, front and center, blessing his son. Zack is seated on the other side of Dane, looking dapper in his nicest clothes, and I hugged the breath out of him upon first sight. Interestingly enough, it was Zack who'd reassured me this wedding is a wonderful thing, and that Parker is more than happy in his decisions. Evan popped his head into the conversation and also told me not to worry, that Parker's over the moon about the direction his life has taken him. Speaking of Evan, he stands at the front as Parker's best man and looks handsome as ever in his cowboy boots, black pants, and white dress shirt, pink rosebud pinned to his chest. He winks from under his black cowboy hat when I wave at him and pats Parker's shoulder with a smile as the music starts. Whitley comes down the aisle first, the maid of honor, and looks absolutely beautiful. I can't resist but look back at Evan and smile from the deepest part of myself at what I find. His eyes are glued on her, and he mouths, I love you, to her. He truly does. I can see it from here. Evan is sincerely in love, and with Whitley's big blue eyes right back on him, I can see that he's loved right back. I reach over and take Dane's hand in mine. Pretty damn in love myself. At the end of the vows, Parker whoops, yes, whoops, and throws off his cowboy hat, dipping his very pregnant bride for a very non-wedding-like kiss. Everyone laughs softly and claps. Classic Parker. P.S. Just how pregnant is Hayden? The girl is huge. I'm never getting pregnant. I ache just looking at her. The reception is, you guessed it, in another barn. It's lovely as well. All the tables covered in pink. A DJ and dance floor laid down. Punch and cake and exhilaration in the air. Dane and I make our way over to my dad's table, where he sits with his date, Rosemary, and Evan's parents. Lainey! Mrs. Allen jumps out of her chair and wraps me up in the kind of hug only she can give.
So good to see you, baby girl.
She catches Dane and pulls him in for an embrace as well. And you must be Dane. I honestly couldn't remember if I'd introduced them at the funeral or not. Guess I got my answer.
Yes, ma'am, he says.
I've never heard him say ma'am before. I guess the farm just brings out the southern manners in people. Dane, this is Charlotte Allen, Evan's mom. And this, I move to his dad and lean over, hugging his shoulders, is his father. I lean down and kiss Mr. Allen's cheek. Hey, Pops. Mr. Allen reaches back and pats my hand on his shoulder before standing and shaking Dane's hand.
Nice to meet you, son. Heard a lot of great things about you from Jeff. Says you're real good to our Laney.
Yes, sir, I try, Dane answers.
Then shifts and extends his hand to my dad, who's also risen.
How are you, Mr. Walker?
Jeff, boy, how many times I gotta say it?
Daddy. I wrap my arms around his middle, noticing it's a bit bigger. Stop teasing him. Hi, Rosemary. I lean my head around him and smile at her. I'm ecstatic my dad is finally dating again. He's quite a catch, if I do say so myself. And Rosemary is a kind woman. A widow whose only son is about 5 years older than me and out of the house.
There he is, my dad hoots. And I don't have to turn around to know he means Evan.
My dad's been saying the same thing to his entrance for over 10 years.
Mr. Walker,
Evan greets him.
Jesus Christ, I'm gonna have to start wearing a name tag with you boys. My name is Jeff,
my dad insists. I turn now to greet Evan, and am immediately pummeled by an overzealous hug from Whitley.
Lady, I love your dress.
I can't help but grin. She really is this nice. It's not an act. What a bitch I'd been to judge her, dislike her for, well, nothing really. And here we are now. Friends.
Hey, girl, you did great on this wedding. It's really beautiful.
Thank you. It was so much fun. Hayden just let me do whatever I wanted. She giggles. She's too tired to care.
I bet. I lean in to whisper. Is it just me, or is she like 200 weeks pregnant?
Whitley can't contain it and busts out laughing, tugging on Evan's arm.
Evan, come here. Okay, Lainey, tell him what you just said.
I just asked how pregnant Hayden was. I mutter, embarrassed. She seems pretty big.
That's what I said.
Evan offers me a knuckle punch. Don't worry, we're not crazy. She's got 3 of them little nuggets in there.
3? God help him, Dane mumbles.
Now right behind me with his hand finding the small of my back.
No shit, right? Evan chuckles. Hey, man, how are ya?
He shakes Dane's hand.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
We all turn. Fearful. Sawyer has the mic. Zack strides up and verbalizes all our thoughts.
Who the hell gave Beckett the mic? There's grandmas and kids here. Please welcome, for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Parker Jones.
Well, that was okay. I sigh in relief. In walk Parker and Hayden, hand in hand, permanent smiles plastered across their faces. We all stand back in our little group and watch as the crowd envelops them, waiting our turn. Where's Hayden's family? I wonder out loud.
Just a mom, Evan answers. The one in the purple dress to her right.
What's Ange think about triplets? I whisper.
Oh, she's thrilled. So am I.
Whitley squeals. How much fun will that be?
Not much, I think to myself.
Evan looks at her adoringly, sliding an arm around her waist. Perhaps they're even happier than I thought. I've never seen that exact smile on Evan, clearly earned only by the new and glowing country Whitley. Parker had called me a while back to explain that he was giving Evan part of his land, to make sure I understood why he was doing it. Of course I did.
My life is different now. This place will always be home, but I don't see myself coming back or being a farmer or a farmer's wife. Evan, however, it's a perfect fit for him. And Whitley appears to be totally on board. I might even say, in her element. Her smile seems brighter, an extra twinkle in her eye. Not so uptight and unsure anymore. I still think Parker is settling down a bit early myself, but I never worry about the head on Evan's shoulders. Then again, I'd go live on the moon if that's what it took to be near Dane. I would not, however, start spitting out moon babies or quit school and softball. And Dane would never ask me to.
We've got a special treat for you all now. Oh God, Sawyer's talking again. Whitley? Come up here and do your thing, girl.
We all look at Whitley, who goes up on her tiptoes and kisses Evan quickly. See you in a bit. As she walks to Sawyer and the stage, Evan sticks his fingers in his mouth and whistles his approval. And then the larks start shuffling onto the stage as well. I don't even know where they came from. Oh, wow, this is going to be cool. I just know it. I squeeze Dane's hand in excited anticipation, and he looks down at me and winks.
Thank you all so much for coming, and congratulations again to Parker and Hayden. We're the lovely larks.
Whitley sweeps her hand out to introduce the ladies. And we're going to start with the bride's choice for their first dance. This is When You Say Nothing at All.
Great song.
Dane and I both mumble together.
Poor Hayden. She almost looks like she's not moving at all, just bobbing like one of those Weeble people that had the rounded bottoms and went in their little school bus.
Anyway, she's round. But we've established that. Dane wraps his arms tight around me from behind and whispers in my ear, I love you. I reach one arm back and cup his cheek. I love you too, Dane. I listen to the song, immersed in the lark's perfectly harmonic voices, and watch Parker gaze at his wife, completely enamored. Do you think they're crazy? Too young?
Do you?
Maybe. I don't know. It just seems crazy to think of. I mean, they're our age, my age. I think it's different for everyone, he says quietly. More about the specific person than the age. Yeah, I guess so. We all clap when the song ends, the floor now open for everyone to dance. The larks do some really cool things with some great song choices. And I manage to steal a dance with my dad, Parker, Zach, Evan's dad, and even Evan, before Dane's finally had enough of sharing his caring and stakes his claim. We dance to several slow and fast songs, some sung by the larks, some played by the DJ, before we finally make our way to say goodbye to the bride and groom. Parker, we're gonna go. Congratulations. I tear up a little as I hug him. I love you, brother. Be happy.
Love you too, Lainey.
He squeezes me back. Thanks for coming. Hayden? I hug her, then rub her belly. You take care, little mama. Get some rest and call me if you need anything, okay?
Y'all don't be strangers now. Parker loves seeing you, Lainey.
Dane congratulates them both as well. Then we both say goodbye to my dad, Rosemary, and Evan's parents, before searching the crowd for Sawyer. He's nowhere to be found, and the longer I have to search on my aching dancing feet, the more aggravated I become. Until I spot him. Then I just feel sad. He's sitting on top of the boat that's upside down on the ground, probably to drain out water, staring out at the pond. Can you go get the car? I ask Dane. Let me talk to him. He kisses me and walks away, leaving me to figure out what to do about Sawyer. Hey, you. I sit down beside him, nudging his shoulder with mine.
Hey, you guys ready to go?
He doesn't even turn, more speaking to the pond than to me. Whenever you are, no rush. As long as I don't have to walk in these anymore. I lift my leg and wiggle my foot. I'm good.
Hey, Gidge?
Yeah?
When did you know Dane was the one for you?
Honestly? I chuckle. Pretty much the moment I met him. I know it sounds stupid, but it's true. It doesn't sound stupid at all.
Saw, what's up with you? You can always talk to me, you know that, right?
Yeah.
He sighs and looks at me at last.
You're my favorite girl in the whole world. When I'm ready, you'll be who I come to.
Okay, then. I kiss his cheek, then stand, reaching out my hand. Let's go home.
Chapter 11. Dane. I'd won the bet and wanted so badly to give Lainey the envelope. I had a whole elaborate plan in mind. The envelope would hold a note telling her to meet me somewhere, where I'd get down on one knee and ask her to marry me. Not today. I'm not an idiot, but someday. A long engagement is more than fine with me, but still, I want the promise, the words, and the assurance that she plans to be mine forever. I had the ring made for her months ago and was just waiting for the right time. But now, the wind in that sail is gone. Judging by the way she'd talked at the wedding, I know now she's far from ready for my gift, even if I preface it with my intentions of a long engagement. And honestly, if I have to lead in with a don't worry line, then that tells me right there it's not the right time. So, disappointed to say the least, I stuffed two tickets to some beach resort in Florida in the envelope, my heart not in it. Sure, I'll take a weekend alone with Lainey, in a bikini any time. But this trip will be overshadowed with thoughts of what I'd really wanted to give her. Where you at, babe? She places her hand over mine, pulling me from my thoughts back to her. Nowhere. Here, I reassure her. We're at a nice dinner. And I suppose now's as good a time as any for her gift. I pull the envelope from the inside pocket of my jacket, hung over the back of my chair, and hand it to her. Ah, the bet envelope. She rubs her hands together and takes it, smiling mischievously. She opens it, pulling out the tickets and jumping from her seat to my lap.
Babe, how is getting a weekend with you on the beach me losing?
She giggles as she kisses my face. It's me winning. I grab her cheeks with both hands and look into her eyes.
I want to tell her what I had planned, that I want her forever. That you're never too young if you know with every fiber of your being that it's right. That the thought of her giving me babies, half of me and half of their beautiful, stubborn, caring mother, makes me want to explode from the inside out. But instead, I kiss her long and slow, then raise a finger for the check. Let's get you home.
Mm-hmm. She takes one last taste of me before moving back to her own chair. I pay the bill hurriedly and pull her up and out to the car. Once inside, I dive back into her lips, unable to wait a second longer to feast on her again.
I want you, I moan in between nips and sucks of her.
Then hurry and get us home, she whispers, moving to kiss up and down my neck. One hand in my hair. I clear my throat and pull back, regrouping and finding the willpower to start the car.
Keep your hands on your side of the car, lady, or we're never going to make it.
Since Sawyer still hasn't gotten his head out of his ass and moved in, and we're closer to her duplex than my house, I head there. I don't care if Tate and Bennett are home or not. They can buy some earplugs for all I care. I can't make it all the way to my house before I get inside her. If I can't have her yes, I'll take her yes.
She shifts in her seat, rubbing her thighs together, obviously just trying to kill me.
Thank you for dinner, babe, she coos. And the trip. Feels unfair, though. You won the bet. I should be rewarding you.
I shift madly into fourth. Come on, Elmhurst Drive.
Oh, yeah? What did you have in mind?
I glance over at her, licking my lips.
I'm not sure, but you won the bet. Bought the place, the trip, the beds. I feel like I'm not giving anything. What can I do to even it out?
Say you'll marry me someday. Wear my ring for the next 5 years if that's what it takes, but wear it. Proudly. Definitively.
No, not the time. She'll spook.
Move in with me?
Well, no, I just got her a place of her own.
That's the problem.
I think more adult than Lainey. Not to say she's immature. She's far from it, in fact. I challenge you to show me a woman her age who's more put together. No, I think like a man who already owns an empire, who already has middle-age responsibilities and plans. But I'm working on changing that. Thus, I need to think like a guy her age, in her life mode. I need to think like a college guy, just starting out as an adult, with just the edge of the other Dane. Do you trust me? I ask her. Completely, she answers with no hesitation. Then give me tonight to be whoever I want. Don't argue or question. Let me do anything I want to you. We're still at, like, 24 Shades of Grey, mister. Jury's still out on whether her reading those books was a good or bad thing. I chuckle. I know, baby. But I want all 24. I can't not look over at her, slowing down my speed a bit as I do. Her eyes aren't scared or skeptical, but rather molten and intrigued. That tongue of hers is tracing her bottom lip as her hands rub slowly up and down her thighs. My girl is turned way the fuck on.
Okay,
she whispers. Could her house be any further away? When we finally, and I am not exaggerating a fucking bit when I say it felt like centuries making inside, I deadbolt the door behind us. No one but she and I have the key, and there will be no interruptions tonight. I dock my phone and turn on the music, just in case they're home next door, and turn to her. I bend a finger, beckoning her to me. Come here, baby. She kicks off her shoes and pulls out her hair tie, letting her blonde locks flow down over her shoulders. She can't not know she's attractive, but I don't think she has any idea how fucking sexy and sensual she is. Not young-looking at all. A full-grown temptress. I'd wanted to go crazy on her, but now unforgettable plays. So I decide to take my time, slow and meaningful, like the song. I lift her arms and guide them around my neck, letting just my fingertips touch her satiny skin as I slide them back down her arms. I pull her by the hips until she's flush against me and grind my hard on into her stomach as I sway us to the music. You have no idea how you captivate me, do you? I ask low in her ear, nipping on its lobe.
You do the same to me, babe.
She lays her head on my shoulder.
I love you so much, Dane.
Not like I love you, Lainey. You couldn't possibly. I grab the hem of her shirt and whisper, lift, pulling off her shirt as her arms go up. No one could possibly feel like this. It's like an all-consuming need for another person just to survive. Next is her bra, which falls to the floor beside us. I look my fill, focusing on my favorite freckle in the middle of her sternum. My North Star, then grasp one glorious breast in my hand, teasing the nipple with one finger. To know you'd give up everything, anyone else, but for that one person. Nothing else exists without them. I deftly snap open her jeans, unzipping them, then backing up. Off, I tell her, then watch hungrily as she does what I say. She doesn't speak, waiting in silence, her chest deceiving her calm facade as it rises and falls rapidly. Turn around, I tell her, loving the view from the back as much as the front. You can't even airbrush that shit any better. The white string of her thong disappears between the two perfectly rounded globes, and I rub myself now, biding my time. Peel that thing off, baby, nice and slow. Tease me. The song is now I Could Not Ask for More by Edwin McCain, a master of the moment. And I smile at the irony of his words. My Lainey is holy fuck hot. Her outside the wrapping to the most caring, humorous, witty soul you'll ever want to meet. And when she bends over like that, sliding a virginal white thong down her long legs, reminding me she is, in fact, pretty inexperienced, also reminds me that she's all mine, and only ever mine. A feral growl escapes me before I even realize, no, I couldn't ask for another damn thing. Come back to me now. I grind out and spread my arms to my side. You want me naked? She nods, biting down on her lip.
Yes?
Tell me.
I want you naked, babe.
Then get me naked. Undress me. First, she unbuttons my shirt and peels it down my shoulders, kissing every inch of skin she bears. I help her with the cuffs and let it drop onto the floor. She reaches up and twirls the cross around my neck in her fingers, then leans in, placing kisses all over my torso as her nipples press into me. Keep going, baby. Pants, I growl, needing to consume her, barely holding back. She goes down to her knees, working my belt and pants open, and easing them down my legs. I toe off my shoes, and she takes care of my socks. Now, I'm left in just my boxer briefs, my erection obvious through them. She runs a finger over the outline.
For me?
For you, I murmur, before dropping down to her, cupping her ass in my hands and forcing her mouth open with my own. Our tongues battling for power before we break apart to catch our breath. If desire had a flavor, this would be it. Wrap your legs around me. I stand back up, carrying her to the other side of the room and bracing her against the wall with my body as I make quick work of my briefs. Body to body. Skin to skin. I breathe for a minute, staring into her eyes and calming myself down a bit. I can't be too rough with Lainey, as badly as I want to. But one thing I do want, been dying to have, I ask for now. Can I have you bare tonight, baby? Just you around me, nothing else. She nibbles on her lip, thinking. She'd started some shot a while back, and ever since, I've wanted to really feel her. I'll pull out, I practically beg. Not even sure why all of a sudden I'm willing to risk this, but right now, it's like a baser need in me. She shakes her head and whispers,
"Okay."
And in one deep thrust, I take her up against the wall. Aside from the one time Lainey and I forgot for the most glorious 15 seconds of my life, I've never had sex without a condom. And the boxes that advertise, "so thin it feels the same," are fucking fork-tongued liars. It feels nothing even close to the same. I can feel everything. Every swollen muscle, every throb and pulse of her tight, wet, warm. I'm out of words, out of thoughts. It's more than I can take, and I have to know if it's this real for her. Does it feel different to you, baby?
Yes, she pants. Softer. Sweeter. You?
Oh, fuck, you have no idea. I bury my head in her tits, delirious, inhaling and savoring the sweet tang of our co-mingled sweat on her skin. I suck, bite, lick, and rub incoherently as I pump into her like a madman. Do your squeeze thing, baby. I want to feel it like this. Ah. Yeah, ah, Lainey. I try. Lord knows I do. But scared I'll miss, I pull out, jacking myself with my hand a few times and unloading all over her stomach. And some even on my own. Please don't look at me like that, my love. I am well aware you didn't get off. But I need some practice on this whole you-get-to-fuck-an-excruciatingly-tight-volcano-bareback thing. We'll work up to the squeezing thing. She's way too in control of her muscles to be milking me when I'm uncovered. Stay right there. I point at her and then go to the bathroom, cleaning myself up before returning to her with a damp washcloth. I clean her off, kissing her face, her neck, and her shoulders as I do so. Baby, you have no idea how fucking amazing that felt. I didn't know what to expect, but it damn sure wasn't that. She giggles into my neck, climbing into my lap.
You should have seen your face. Your eyes rolled back in your head.
How foolproof is that shot you get?
Almost 100%. I'm not worried. You were out in time.
Oh, I know that. I'm asking because we need to try that again. I lay her back and cover her with my body. And again. I kiss my way down her stomach. And again. I slip one finger inside her, curling it and rubbing against her inside wall. She writhes and squirms beneath me, maneuvering herself where she needs to before her moans finally become shrieks.
"Right there. You got it," she squeaks.
And I quickly add another finger and my mouth.
"Oh, Dane, don't you dare stop."
I use my free hand to brace her hip still, or she'll scoot herself right out of ecstasy, like a wiggle worm. She gyrates her hips as much as my hold will allow, grabbing my hair and fucking my face until she collapses, one long, satisfied hum echoing over the music. "That's twice for the living room," I say, and we both laugh together.
"We haven't even knocked out the bed yet."
I jump to my feet and bend over, scooping her up in a cradle hold. "Your wish is my command, baby." I carry her to the bedroom and dip her towards the bed. "Pull back the covers," I say. When she does, I toss her in with a squeal and crawl right in beside her, pulling the covers back over us. We lay on our sides facing each other, me drinking in her beauty, ready to go again anytime she is. Her, she's thinking.
"Do we have too much sex?" she asks.
A chuckle bursts out of me.
"What?"
Told you she was thinking. Although that probably wouldn't have been my guess as to what.
"Do we have too much sex?"
"We do it a lot." She scrunches up her nose, blushing my favorite shade of pink. "A, there's no such thing as too much sex. And two, we're young and in love. We're supposed to do it, like 3 times a day. If anything, we're slacking, beautiful." I tuck a piece of hair behind her ear and kiss her chin. Then the end of her nose, scooting closer to her. "Why do you ask?"
"I don't know," she shrugs. "I just think maybe we forget about the other stuff sometimes. Before we started humping..."
I bury my face in my pillow, laughing hysterically at her. "Baby." I come up for air.
"Humping?"
"We make love, we fuck, but we don't hump." She pushes on my chest.
"You know what I mean. Before we started doing that, we had really cool conversations."
I lay my arm out, and she moves to lay her head on it. "We talk all day, every day. What are you talking about right now?" She says nothing, fascinating with my necklace. "Ah, here we go. Girl time." I get it. She needs the mental more than the physical, unlike myself. "Okay, I can do this. Would you rather lose your sight or your hearing?" There's her smile that I love, the one that comes from the bottom of her heart and takes over the whole room. With one question, we're back to us. See what I did there? 2 gold stars in 1, conversation and a game, and Lainey girl loves her games.
"Hearing, definitely. We could learn sign language, but I couldn't stand not being able to look at you. Would you rather..."
She taps her chin.
"Only sing the songs or only play them?"
"Play them." "You could sing."
"What?
Where are you going?" I grab her, saving her from falling off the side of the bed. And soon we're both rolling in laughing fits. Lainey can't carry a tune for shit. Seriously, it sounds like someone's torturing already dying cats. It's a shame, too, because she knows every word and really feels the music. Seems only right she be able to sing them and at least some semblance of the tune. We lie together, limbs tangled, and play another 10 or so rounds, trying to think of things we don't already know about each other, which isn't a whole lot, since we never talk and all. I'm not pointing that out, though. Finally, on Lainey's turn, she rolls on top of me and sits up, my eyes taking in her naked form above me. Her eyes turn to slits, and she circles one of my nipples with her finger.
"Would you rather be on top or bottom?"
I answer by flipping her over and showing her now, with my body, what she just reconfirmed in the girly half of her mind. I love her.
Chapter 12. Lainey. School starts in 3 days, so tonight the crew is all back together and the K is getting turned up. Evan, Whit, and Zach are all back from the farm. Sawyer's promised to be in attendance, and Dane's already got cars on standby for everyone to get home safely. We're doing it big. One last hurrah before going back to the grind. Bennett Whitley and I are getting ready together at my place. I've already made up my mind. I'm letting loose tonight and plan to have as much fun as I can stand. So naturally, the ladies think I need to look as good as I feel. We kick the boys out, planning to meet them there, and we've got Roar on full blast and repeat while we primp. Bennett's in a blue, short party dress, her red mane up in a twist and silver heels on her feet that should seriously come with a manual. At least, I would need a manual if I tried to wear them. Not only are they hella tall, but they have a whole bunch of straps, and I'm not completely sure which buckle's attached to what. Whitley's rocking a black miniskirt and sparkly silver top with, wait for it, black cowboy boots. Her blonde hair is in a French braid, and she makes a perfect city girl got a taste of country. And me? Frick and Frack have had way too much fun dressing me in skin-tight dark jeans, knee-high black boots, and a shiny red top that hangs loose and low in the front and is held together with one strap across the open back. I've already warned them that when Dane's head blows off and spins into orbit, they're to blame. My hair is down, eyes smoky, and lips shiny. I'm ready to roll. I'd say I was ready to party like it's 1999, but Whitley made me swear I'd never say that out loud again. Dane sent a car for us, and we may or may not have had a pre-game toast in the back on our way over. I mean, if you send a car with a bottle chillin' in the back, it's kinda like a note on it that says, drink me. The K is on full blast when we walk in, and even I feel excited butterflies in my stomach at the electric atmosphere. Dane's tapping the door at 100 heads tonight. We want the club feel, but not overcrowding. He's got amateurs behind the bar, too, so Tate and Sawyer can enjoy themselves. So there's no sense overwhelming the newbies. Workout by J. Cole is playing, my jam. And with the bubbly I downed on the ride over, I'm ready to dance like nobody's watching. I should probably find Dane first, but something tells me he'll find me. So I pull Whit and Bennett onto the floor. One song blends into another, the three of us waving our hands in the air exactly like we just don't care. I'm all about tonight. And being out on the floor with everyone dancing and having fun is great. But when random hands grab my hips from behind and pull me into a body I know by instinct isn't Dane's, I panic. I turn my head and am met with the watery, drunken eyes of a stranger, and my heart starts to race uncontrollably. I look around, but Bennett and Whitley are in their own little dancing world, paying me no attention. I try to pull away, but Hansy thinks I'm just dancing, or he doesn't care, and pushes himself into me harder, firming up his grip on my hips. I turn my whole body now, fighting against his grip and slapping his arm. Let go, I say sternly, not wanting to completely cause a scene. I have a boyfriend. Huh? Back off, I try again. But he just smirks and grinds into my side now that I've pivoted. Seriously, I yell, trying to escape his hold again. Tears of adrenaline rather than sadness burning in the backs of my eyes. Chill, girl. He slurs way too close to my face. Beer breath in full effect. I lift my knee. Fight response kicking in when my knight speaketh. I heard her say let go loud and clear. How'd you miss it, asshole? Fuck off. McGrabberson smarts off, finally releasing his hold of me. I turn just in time to see Dane rear back and punch the guy smoothly in the face, barreling over the top of him when he goes down. Dane pulls him off the floor by his collar, jaw clenched as he speaks inches from his face. If a lady says let go, you let the fuck go. Get the hell out of my bar and don't let me see you back in here. He drops him flat again and sticks out his hand for me. No room for hesitation in his scowl. I place my shaking hand in his and struggle to keep up as he pulls me off the floor. I turn back to check on the girls. seeing that Tate and Evan are now by their sides, and Zack is escorting the now bleeding, dirty dancer out the door.
All right, all right, Sawyer says through the mic. Sorry for that, folks. Next round is on the house. And the gorgeous blonde in the red? Hands off, guys. Now, have some fun.
Would you slow down? I plead with Dane's back as I trip on the stairs he's literally dragging me up. Dane, stop, I'm gonna fall. No preamble, I'm now flying through the air, tossed over the shoulder of one severely pissed off Dane Kendrick. Now I can't see where we're going, hanging upside down and staring at his ass. But we're going there in big, fast stomps. He digs in his pocket, and I hear a lock click. A light comes on. Then I'm placed on my feet. Where are we? I ask, looking around while I attempt to get my hair out of my face. My office, he snarls, locking the door and keeping his back to me, forehead pressed against the wood. He's taking deep, slow breaths in and out. I can see every muscle of his back and shoulders heaving under his white dress shirt. Hey. I touch his shoulder, shocked that he flinches at my touch.
Hang on.
He holds up a finger and sighs.
Please just give me a minute.
I back away, letting him calm down and take in my surroundings. Not that I come here a lot, but how have I never seen his office? I scan again, more closely this time. It's very Dan-esque, with large, bold furniture, minimal color, and perfect order. On his desk is a picture of me. It's in black and white, a close-up of my face in profile. I don't remember him taking it, but there it is, the thing he chooses to have right next to him. Me. When I turn back around to see if he's settled a bit, he's staring back at me. It was the day we went fishing with your dad. You were lost in thought. The wind blew your hair in your face and you didn't even notice. I tell myself, every time I look at it, that you were thinking of me. I probably was. I walk towards him now, seeing he's back to himself. He reaches a hand out to me, gently this time, and I take it, letting him pull me into his chest.
Are you okay?
His voice is strained. A mix between caged anger and fear. I shake my head, rubbing a palm over his heart that I can feel pounding erratically. I'm fine, babe. It's over now.
I was watching you dance, smiling, having fun. I saw him move in and I got to you as soon as I could. Not soon enough. Were you scared?
He kisses the top of my head and squeezes me tighter.
Did he hurt you?
His voice cracks now as though he's afraid to hear the answer.
No.
I mean, yes, I was a little scared, maybe just surprised. And no, he didn't hurt me. I lift my head from his chest and grab his chin, forcing him to look at me. Hey, I'm fine. He was a little grabby and forward, but nothing crazy bad. I'm fine, I promise.
I wanted to kill him. I still do.
His jaw ticks, and I lift my hand to cup it, running my thumb back and forth slowly.
Babe, it's okay, calm down.
Some guys are jerks and think all girls on a dance floor are up for that sort of thing. But he didn't hurt me, and I don't feel overly violated or anything. You got there in plenty of time. Thank you. I lift up and kiss him softly. I love you, and I really am fine. Are you okay? He scoffs, kissing my forehead.
Worried about me?
He shakes his head.
I'm sorry I lost it, but no one's allowed to touch you like that.
He holds me tighter, inhaling a big breath.
Can you meet up with me before you dance next time?
I know he wanted so badly to make a demand instead of a request. I'm a firm believer in reinforcing good behavior.
Absolutely.
Good idea, babe. Now, I look up at him and smile flirtatiously, trying to lighten the mood. Can you kiss me senseless, then come dance with me? He groans, taking my mouth in a feverish kiss, unleashing his frustration in it.
His hands roam greedily, grabbing my ass and pulling me fiercely against his hardening groin.
We could just stay in here. Have our own party, he suggested, his voice hoarse.
As tempting as that sounds, all our friends are waiting for us. And he is kind of the host. And we do that all the time. But rarely do I agree to tie one on. It pains me to say it, but I do it anyway.
Babe, we need to go be with our friends. We'll be alone later. You're my friend.
He sinks his teeth into my neck, teasing every part of me at once.
Just for a little while, he pleads.
If I have to hang and be all shits and giggles, so do you.
Impeccably timed as always. Sawyer's yell comes through the door as he beats on it.
Pull your panties up. You too, Lainey, and get your asses out here.
Why in the hell are we friends with him again? Dane grumbles as he adjusts himself,
then scans over me with somber eyes, reassuring himself one last time that I am, in fact, all right. Because he's wonderful and we love him. I kiss him, then grab his hand. Now come on. And have fun, damn it. Or no nookie for you later.
Hi.
I greet Sawyer when I open the door. We were just coming to find you.
Uh-huh.
He smirks.
Now listen, Zach doesn't want a scene, so stay cool. But Avery just walked in.
She can't stay. I want Zach to have fun. I start walking, feeling them both hot on my heels.
No scene, huh?
I might have actually considered it, but it appears that ship has sailed. First Dane's fight and now this. When I spot Avery, she's hanging on the front of Zach's shirt, pleading with him. Zach is trying to remove her hands and looks very much inconvenienced. Enter another scene. I bust up on them unnoticed. Can I talk to you a minute?
It's fine, Lainey.
Zach assures me.
Yeah, Lainey, butt out.
Avery sneers.
See, now I have a real dilemma. I haven't had words with Avery, and I've been nothing but cordial at all the practices I've seen her at since she cheated on my friend publicly. And I wasn't rude just now. I simply asked if I could talk to her. But now, she's changed things up a bit.
Not gonna happen, Ave, I say. Now, let's keep things cool. We have to play ball together after all. How about you just leave and go have some fun elsewhere? That's all I'm asking. And nicely.
That's swing two. She only gets three.
Avery, why don't you head out, okay? I can have a car take you anywhere you want to go, Dane suggests politely from beside me.
Oh, Mr. High and Mighty, you can fuck right off.
Zach, she looks up at him. Tell them this is between you and me.
That's where you're wrong,
I answer for him, my blood pressure rising to alarming heights.
Why is she attacking Dane?
We're a crew. You screw with one of us, you screw with all of us. You had that. But what you did to Zach, well, we don't take that kind in. So just leave.
Now.
I'm no longer asking. And watch your fucking mouth when you're talking to him. I point at Dane. He didn't do shit to you.
Dane puts a hand on my arm now, as if to hold me back.
It's funny. I've never put my hands on anyone, just talked. My dad had a golden rule of his own. You best make sure they hit you first. Never start it. Always finish it. So until someone hits me, that's all we'll ever do. Talk.
Zach, please come with me. Don't choose them over me.
I love you.
Just talk to me.
Avery begs. And we all wait silently. This part is totally Zach's call. Can you make sure she gets to her car safely? He turns and asks Sawyer, almost looking sad, but really just seeming over it.
No prob. Saw salutes him. Let's go, twin.
I'll see you. She jabs her finger in my chest. On the field.
Wouldn't miss it. I smile, killing her with kindness. Besides, all she can do is hit me with a pitch, and that's a free base, bitch, so bring it. Otherwise, pitch it, and I'll go yard on your ass all day. You show the hold in your glove, dumbass. We watch Avery slap at Sawyer as he walks her and two girls I don't know out. Zack turns to the bar and slaps his hand down on it. Shots! He yells, shocking us all. Of course, we're waited on immediately, and I get my first intro into something called a buttery nipple. Delicious. Another one, and I'm ready to get busy on the floor. There's a slow song playing, so I have time to coax the boys out there with me. We make it just in time for We Going Home by Drake, and I turn my back to Dane and pull his hands around me. My man can move, and our bodies find their rhythm with each other, on their own. Though I'm not usually much of a dancer, I can definitely see the appeal. A few shots to loosen you up, the right song, and the man you trust behind you, and it becomes more an erotic act than dancing. You're so fucking hot, baby, he croons in my ear, his hands teasing just under the bottom of my shirt, finding the bare skin of my stomach. I love you like this, so untamed. You dance like you fuck, smooth and sexy. His words intoxicate me more than the alcohol. I can feel his hard-on pressed against my ass as he grinds his hips into me, swirling our lower halves in time to the beat. I throw one hand around his neck, arching my ass out and into him roughly, then really shake it, loving the sound of his groan over the beat. You ready to leave, baby? No, I giggle, knowing he's dying to go. But I may never have the nerve to do this again. I've got to make the night last. Then we need to take a break or I'm going to give it to you right here. I turn in his arms now, emboldened, and all of a sudden dying to try out a move I saw in a movie once. I fist his shirt in one hand and drop to the floor, then pull myself slowly back up his body, straddling one of his legs. Fuck. He moans in my mouth as he grabs me by the back of the neck and kisses the hell out of me. Enough. We're leaving and doing this for real or not? He pants, begging me with his eyes to pick the former. Damn, Gidge! You've been hiding your freak! Sawyer laughs in my ear, now right beside us. You guys, come on, everybody's at a table. Whitley wants to do a toast. I have to chuckle when Dane lets out a pouting huff and makes me drag him to join our friends. More shots are waiting when we get there, and Whitley raises hers. To old friends, she taps her glass to Dane, Sawyer, and Tate. To new friends, now she taps me, Bennett, and Zack. And to forevers, she clinks with Evan last. May this year be filled with love, laughs, and straight A's. Cheers. We all join glasses now and down them. Though this one, not my favorite. Coconut. Yuck. Whitley, truth or dare? I wipe my mouth and ask, amidst the collective moans of the guys. I'll go tell 'em last call. Tate's already in motion. Something tells me this just became a private party.
Dane. Have you ever been this drunk before? I asked my very inebriated, cute-as-hell girlfriend, currently chanting the roof's on fire as we're driven to my house.
Nope. Have you?
I only did one shot, no one noticing, so obviously I'm fine. But explaining that to her, now, would be futile. Come here, I chuckle and pull on her belt loops. She's climbing around like a monkey, and I think she's about to go for a sing and spread your arms out the roof moment. There's no moonroof in this car, baby, I try to explain as I pull her down into my lap. You're one sexy mess. Tonight was great, though. Aside from the one issue early on. After we'd closed the doors and thinned the crowd, Lainey really let go finally. Whitley and Bennett happy to follow suit.
You'd think with one fight and an appearance by an ex, we'd be out of highlights, but alas, it gets better. The most interesting part of the night had to be the drunken, more risque than usual game of truth or dare. Because of which, I now know several new exciting facts. For starters, Whitley could easily be a pole dancer if she ever desires. Bennett has a belly button ring of a T. Sawyer does a mean worm and has 7 piercings. Which not only was he not allowed to show, but I refused to try and guess as to their whereabouts. Evan's actually not a bad singer and can shotgun a beer fastest of the guys. Zach has a very white ass and cannot tie a cherry stem with his tongue to save it. My brother, when forced to judge, gives Lainey best ass. Tell me something I don't know. Whitley best tits, and Bennett best all-in-one. Yep, TOD led by drunk girls is super informative. And everyone else is now fully aware that I have some bossy tendencies in the bedroom. Lainey's truth share, not mine. Miss Too Many Shots Blabbermouth got ahead of herself, though, and spilled the beans about pussy persuasion. I could go on and on, but I'd rather just figure out a way to self-induce amnesia. Except for the last part. I'm on to her now, the little minx. Her light snoring grabs my attention, and I look down at the beautiful girl now asleep with her head in my lap, body curled into a little ball half on top of me. She's going to be a hungover bear tomorrow. But for now she's a snoring, snuggly angel. That sweet little mouth puckers as she blows out her signature puffs of air, her cheeks flushed from the alcohol, and her hands wrapped around my waist under my shirt. I brush the hair off her forehead and kiss her there. I adore you, Lainey Walker. I can't wait to marry you. Okay, she purrs, snuggling deeper into my side. God, what I'd give for her to say that sober and awake.
Chapter 13. Lainey.
Sawyer, we're gonna be late!
I scream through a mouthful of crunch berries. There's a knock at the front door, interrupting my breakfast. When I open it, I'm met with a sea of blue roses. I gasp and reach for the vase, uncovering a young delivery boy. Lainey Walker? He asks. That's me. Here you go. He hands me a light blue envelope. Have a nice day. I shut the door and take them to the kitchen counter, inhaling their sweet fragrance. I know who they're from, but once again, he has floored me. Where does one even find a blue rose? And this early in the morning? I open the card, more than anxious to read what it says. My Disney, I'm sorry I can't see you off to your first day of sophomore year today. No doubt you look beautiful and will kick butt. Blue roses are thought to mean the impossible, and 11 of any color mean you are my treasure, that which I love most in my life. Both are true. You are absolutely the most treasured and loved thing that will ever exist in my world. Impossibly so. I will see you tonight. Nothing could keep me from it. I'll want to hear all about your day, and how much you missed and loved me, of course. Do your thing, baby. XOXO. D.
Kid, you shouldn't have.
Sawyer saunters in, grabbing my bowl of cereal. How do you know blue were my favorite? Lucky guess. I sigh, still on my cloud. You ready to go? I don't want to be late the first day.
Yep.
He turns up the bowl and drinks the milk. I even made my bed and picked up my room like a good boy. Very nice. I pat his chest. Now have a great day, play nicely with the other kids, and I'll see you at lunch. Sawyer had moved in, just like he promised, and seems to be a bit more chipper every day. I haven't asked and he hasn't shared, but things seem better. We walk out together, him locking the door behind us, and head down the driveway. You want a ride? I ask him, climbing into my truck. Nah, I'll take the bike. I have a long break in the afternoon.
I'll come home and make dinner.
Meatloaf good? It's my specialty.
That sounds great, Saw. I can't wipe the grin off my face as I drive to campus. Dane and I are fantastic. All my friends, including Sawyer, seem on track. Happy or happier and healthy. My dad is dating. My mom learned to use the laptop we brought her to Skype with me at least once a week. Hayden's doing great, and Angie's truly thrilled, chomping at the bit for her grandbabies to come. And always, I think of Evan. He may be the happiest of all. So wrapped up in Whitley and now living with her, I might add, that the smile he permanently wears is bigger than my own. Whit got her lobster, or seahorse, or whatever she says. And Evan got his Juliet. We're all just one big, crazy, loving, extended family. Forever entangled in one another's lives. And pretty damn blessed. Life is good.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Entangled. Written by S.E. Hall. Performed by Moraes Almeida and Douglas Berger.